It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. A brand new broadcast week. It's the 19th day of October 2020. This is The Horn. Headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. And all the standard stuff applies. If you should happen to want to be part of the Merry Madcap Wacky Zany real-time multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Then run on by, headon.live, click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password if you have never done so before. If you have, just use the one you've got. And you'll be immediately greeted by early arrivers Squeaky and Roger and Oregon and Anatole, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although he is a third stage guild navigator, has chosen not to fold space today in the far reaches of Northern California. He is capably moderated by midweek pinch hit chat room moderator and utility moderator and all around great guy Steve from Georgistan, who, like me, may very well be grieving the fact that the daggum Braves choked. That's all the sports talk. We're not gonna sports talk anymore. We're just not gonna. But yeah, they did. Damn it. I hate that. But that's good news for Tracy and Jan and Billable Rick, I guess, and all the other Dodgers fans. See, if one door closes, another opens. Apparently, Sparky won't be folding space for at least another couple of days. Two more days of 90-degree weather, he says, and then it gets sane. It's weird. We're going to have beautiful, almost summer-like weather here later this week. Oh, the weekend was exquisite. You know, Saturday would have been Bridge Day. Hey, wait, I'm getting ahead of myself. Every program here begins with gratitude, this program being no different. So thanks go out, going back to last week, or last Saturday. Thanks to our subscribers, Gary Laborman out in New Mexico. Thank you to Nancy. Thank you, Nancy, for being a partial sponsor of the program. Thank you to our good friend in across the pond in Asia. Thank you very kindly, an anonymous friend. Thank you to Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you to Stephen. Thank you to Grace. Thank you to Clayton. Thank you to Sharon. And jumping in early today, at the first past the post, as he likes to be, Jeremy in Vermont. Thank you very kindly. So, the fundraising goal is $310, because we pulled up short last week, and these things happen. But here's the reality. We need to catch up, and catch up soon. So it's 310, but the reality is we need to raise the week's fundraising as quickly as possible, because there's stuff breathing down our necks. And I damn sure want to make sure that we've got an anniversary broadcast to have on Friday, our 15th anniversary. I hate it when it works out this way. Getting all sweaty and stuff, but it is what it is. So thank you to all of our partial sponsors. Thank you to all of our subscribers at Patreon and PayPal. Thank you very kindly. Thank you to all of our a la carte contributors. Thank you so very much for making this attempt at independent, non-corporate, non-capitalist radio a reality for as long as you have. Yeah, there it is. Go Dodgers from Billable Rick. Stop it, Bob, says Lee in New York. Stop telling us we can't sports talk. Stop telling us we can't talk about sports, Bob. Well, hey, it's not me. It's, you know, I can hear mouses clicking. Because, you know, we're liberals and we're progressives and we don't do that plebeian stuff like talking about sports and whatnot. Hey, wow, thank you very kindly, Darlene in Connecticut, getting us started early this evening with a $100 challenge. Thank you. Thank you, Darlene. That means that we can take out $200 if there are $100 out there to match Darlene's $100. And that'll wipe out last week and get us started on today. Thank you, Darlene, so very, very kindly. Let me see here. Let me check in with Brother Deacon Asa real quick. So, like I said, this past Saturday here in my little corner of the universe would have been Bridge Day. Thank you, James in Illinois, for getting started on Darlene's challenge. That means there's $90 to go on that. Thank you, James. Thank you very kindly indeed. It would have been Bridge Day here, but Bridge Day was canceled. But apparently, Bridge Day was canceled. Nobody knew that. So this little community where I live was butthole to belly button with LARPing and smollicking and grabulating and lollygagging and wallering and spraying and spewing and tourists all over creation. Oh, my God. So, in reality, I mean, swamped. Cars from all over the place. I mean, because, you know, we ain't got the Roner here. Never mind the fact that the state of West Virginia turned in its highest infection numbers on Friday in months and months. Never mind the fact that the state of West Virginia is ninth in the nation right now as COVID burns through the countryside again. Yeah. Ugh. So, here in about 2 weeks' time, we will see what happens here as we have a nice little, cluster of disease. Not nice at all. Now, Bridge Day's a big day. I mean, we talk about it every year. Usually there's a lot of fun stuff that goes with it. Taste of Bridge Day the day before, and there's massive parties and bands and concerts. It's a great time. 100,000 people crammed onto two lanes of a mile-long bridge, 876 feet in the air, to watch damn fools jump off of it with parachutes. Yes. Wait a minute. What the? That cowbell is for Randy and PA. Cheer up, Bob, as they say at IKEA. When God closes a sturus in Jordan, he opens a finster, Vivig. God, I hope our buddy Scott in Sweden's not listening right now. He's having a conniption. That's good. That's good. But it was beautiful Saturday. Warm, fantastic. Just amazing. And, I mean, people were all over the place. If there was a rock face to climb, some tourist was on it. the last day of golly season, people going down the New River. Ugh. And ordinarily, I love that kind of stuff. It's exciting to see people loving my little community as much as I generally do, and the rest of us do. But in the middle of a pandemic, no. I know, Kyle says, are we in some kind of competition that I wasn't aware of to out-stupid ourselves or what? Jesus Christ. Well, we're not real bright. You know, hallelujah, there's no more Rona. Except there is. And the hottest place in the United States, North Dakota. How about that? North Dakota. Yeah, doesn't that just beat cats fucking? North Dakota's down to one ICU bed. One. There in Bismarck. Really, one. And Nitwit Nero's attacking Anthony Fauci. And Anthony Fauci's attacking back. Yeah. Bridge Day was canceled, asks Lee in New York. Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, and the other two will have to find another place for their game. Oh, not that bridge. But Data and Worf spent the whole day decorating. Not that bridge either. Wrong bridges. Both cases. Yeah. But still. That's a moderate jingle for that. That was good, Lee. Yep, mercifully, our bridge does not involve rubber. It's steel, by God. But we were just crawling with people yesterday and today, or yesterday, day before yesterday. I mean, the little road that I take to get out to the highway that goes to the bridge had tourist cars parked all along it that you never see. And because we know that data is real and statistics are real and everything, we know that the Rona was here too. And I just hope that it doesn't burn our little town to the ground. Just hope. Ah, okay. Bob, stop telling me you can hear my mouse clicking about sports talk. FYI, you forgot to mention the furious clicking of keys for said emails. True enough, Jeremy, in Vermont. True enough. Yeah. Here's a thought, Bob, says Scott in San Diego. What if Trump's done such a piss-poor job handling the pandemic because he knows he'll probably lose big, and it's all been about limiting Biden's inaugural crowd size on the National Mall on January 20th? If this is the case, we'll never hear the end of it from Trump and his minions. They came into office whining about crowd size, and they may also go out fixating on it again. Well, fixating is what they do best. Yeah, Kyle, you're right. Over the weekend, Orange Asshole actually said, Biden will listen to the scientists like it was a bad thing. I know. So now, things will settle down a little bit hereabouts. The tourists will dwindle away, one hopes. I saw two county sheriff's deputies shaking down a car with Georgia plates earlier today. One woman driving, the woman standing off to the side of her car while they poked around in her vehicle. You mind if we search your car? Well, no. Civic knowledge in this country is so pathetic. Because that's where you look at the cops and you go, if you have a search warrant, it doesn't matter if I consent. Do you have a search warrant? But what they do is this: Bridge Day is a big shakedown weekend for law enforcement around here too. They'll pull you over, almost on a lark. Bridge Day? Asks Ron in Raleigh. Never should have said anything. Just never should have said anything. I bid three, no Trump. Jesus. One ICU bed, Leah, New York, says, worst update of musical chairs ever. The music stops and one person gets the last bed. And the bed comes with a vent, I guess. Okay, that's really helpful. An anonymous individual has put forth an anonymous when Donnie chooses, you loses $50 challenge. So $150 in challenges on the table, $10 of it met. And that'll go, that'll get us, if those challenges are met, that'll get us almost to where we need to be. That would be awesome. Thank you to our anonymous friend. So two challenges on the table to the tune of $150, $10 of it met, and $140 of it waiting for activity. Billable Rick, North Dakota COVID outbreak. Welcome to the land north of the magical gnome, that is the Christie variety, where the deer and the antelope play along with COVID cougars. There's absolutely no way that the Sturgis motorcycle gaggle contributed to any portion of North Dakota's COVID pandemic because, as we all know, COVID is a hoax perpetrated by a 300-pound guy with a keyboard in New Jersey. I didn't know there was a place in New Jersey, in Russia, named New Jersey. Because in the midst of a bunch of carrying on about a fake Hunter Biden story, the members of the Department of Justice, who apparently got away from Attorney General Bill Pepe the Frog Barr long enough to do some Department of Justice stuff, well, they made an announcement today. There won't be any trials. Nobody's going to prison. Sorry, nicotine pouch. Hiccups. But six Russian intelligence officers, Jesus, that's annoying, have been indicted in a global computer hacking scam that had at least three countries as their targets, as well as the 2018 Winter Olympics in South Korea. We've also learned today that the Mother Russia intended to attack the Tokyo Olympics had the Rona not forestalled that. Great folks, those Russians. Huggable, snuggleable, cuddleable. The indictment was unsealed today. Seven counts. Assistant Attorney General John Demers, chief of the Justice Department's National Security Division, said it was the most disruptive and destructive effort ever attributed to a single operation. And it's the same gang of little pissant thugs, Sandworm, Military Unit 74455, and they're the same punks and thugs that attacked our election in 2016. Mm-hmm. And the attacks had to do with sanctions against Russia, because Russia can't even compete in the Olympics without cheating. You know, doping. Yeah. So, that probably, you know, didn't happen. But as I said, Anthony Fauci did push back at Trump and his little and the maggots threatening his life over the weekend. And then today, Nitwit Nero had a call with campaign staff in which he declared that people have gotten sick of Fauci and all these idiots warning about COVID-19. People are tired of hearing Fauci and all these idiots, these people that have gotten it wrong. Fauci's a nice guy. He's been here for 500 years.
He called every one of them wrong, and he's like this wonderful guy, a wonderful sage, telling us how he said, do not wear face masks. That's a number of months ago. I have a list of 15 things, this guy. And yet we keep him. Every time he goes on television, there's always a bomb. But there's a bigger bomb if you fire him. We saved 2.2 million people. If we didn't do it, we did and close it and do just, now we're opening it, but we'd never close it again. It would never close. It'll never close again because we know the disease.
Meanwhile, China, from an economic standpoint, China has fully recovered economically from the Rona. Their economy grew at a robust, some would say perhaps too hot, 4.9%. Meanwhile, Nitwit Nero says,
but Fauci, if we listened to him, we'd have 700,000, 800,000 deaths right now.
We're at 219,000 dead. Jesus Christ.
Dr. Tony Fauci says we don't allow him to do television, yet I saw him last night on 60 Minutes. He seems to get more airtime than anybody since the late, great Bob Hope. All I ask of Tony is that he make better decisions. He said no masks and let China in. Also, bad arm.
He's gone. He's just gone. Not that it's new, but he's just fucking gone. And then, as usual, he lost his mind at a reporter. That's a given. Still, Jesus. This was in Phoenix.
You don't understand. I understand well. You don't understand, and you never have understood.
Is this election going to be a repeat of 2016?
I think so. I think we'll do better than 2016. We're way ahead of where we were in 2016, and I've done things that nobody's ever done. We built the greatest economy in the world, and we're building it rapidly again. If you look at Arizona, you look at the job they've done. And I'm just leaving other states that, I mean, every one of these Republican-run states are doing phenomenally. The Democrat-run states are not, but they're not going to affect our numbers very much. I think they're going to open up on November 4th. They'll be opening up on November 4th.
Yeah, right. Because that is the, I was remiss in one regard.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up. He's on the tarmac even as we speak, just scant steps away from the Carnival Midway. The tarmac happens to be inside the Moran Monday tent. It's Moran Monday on the horn. And yes, only moments ago you were standing on the Carnival Midway, vainly throwing ping pong balls at goldfish bowls in the sad and diminishing hope of carrying home a little bitty obnoxious baby iguana. But what you want to be is over here, in line. Behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas resides all the Morans you could ever hope to see or hear. Birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, birchers, booger eaters, maggots, trumpanzees, libertarians, Republicans all. And they're all right here for your delectation, your amazement, your horror, your shock. Yes, indeed, yes, indeed. For less than the cost of a half a stick of Wrigley's Double Mint Gum. Double your pleasure. Double your radio. For less than the cost of a half a stick of Double Mint Gum, you can be a $10 a month subscriber to The Horn, and we need all we can get. And that way you'll be guaranteeing the existence of Moran Monday for Mondays yet to come. The standard warnings for Moran Monday apply. Please keep a close eye on children, small pets, cats, dogs, birds, yes, even that iguana that you won improbably throwing ping pong balls at goldfish bowls. But, you know, keep an eye on your rings, your bracelets, your watches, your wallets, your purses, your clutches, your European-style messenger bags, because after all, the morans can get grabby. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in morans. Yeah, see, I kind of had to get that out of the way there, because, well, when he's standing on the tarmac ranting about how COVID-19 will disappear on November the 4th, that's industrial strength moran now, ain't it? Yeah, I'm afraid it is, and so, well, not a well man.
And by the way, the fact that Christian Welker is, you know, a dyed-in-the-wool radical left Democrat or whatever she is, okay, then ask, why are you defending her? Then ask her, why did she delete her account?
Because you're slandering her, dipshit Donnie.
Dyed-in-the-wool leftist Democrat or whatever she is. That's not true. Why are you defending her? Good God.
There's no bottom. There's no bottom.
Would you please have her put her account back? And you know what? It's not going to affect. I know you want to stick up. It's not going to affect me. I'm going to be there. But, you know, I told you about the last one, and I was right. And I told you about Savannah Guthrie, and I was right. And I'm telling you about Kristen Welker. Kristen Welker should put all of her statements back on. She deleted her entire account. She shouldn't do that.
Who says she did? It could be that, and, you know, she's a blue check mark, of course. That's the kind of thing that corporate decides. And did she even? Anybody in the Horn ad hoc research department want to see if Kristen Welker is gone from Twitter?
With what?
Did they find out the moderator be able to turn off the mic? Is that what they
I have no idea. I'm doing this. What am I doing to prepare? I'm doing this. I've done very well in debates, and, you know, you do what you do. You just do what you do.
He's going to scream a lot. He's going to interrupt. He's going to try to be a bully because the maggots get off on that.
The last debate, I had 2-on-1. I usually have 2-on-1 at least. And I did well on the last debate, and we did well with Savannah Guthrie based on reports.
You're not the crazy old uncle. Oh, contraire, Savannah, mi amiga.
But all you can do is, look, you know, you go around, we do interviews with you. This is like, I call this debate prep. This is actually tougher than a debate, if you want to know the truth.
Were you doing the testing before the debate, and were you authorized? Were you doing the testing before the debate, and were you... Yes, the COVID testing. And were you authorized for doctors to tell us when...
Sure, I would have no problem with it. I'm not only am I free, positive, or whatever, what would you call it? I'm totally free, right? Not only am I free, I'm immune, they say. They say if you've had it, you're immune. Now, the question is, are you immune from...
Actually, no, they don't say if you've had it, you're immune. That's one of those things we don't really know. And we don't... If you are, we don't know for how long.
4 months or for the rest of your life. That's the only thing we don't know.
Do you authorize your doctors to tell you when you tested negative last before
sure,
the last
is that
event?
Very important to you?
Yes,
you seem
sure
to be
is.
So intent. But if it's so important to you, why is it so important to you?
Because we want to know how long
know,
you may
why?
Have been.
Why?
We want to know if you followed the rules.
I know, but why is it so important to you? Look at the dedication. Yeah, my doctors have already given it. You know, my doctors have given more information than has been given on any human being in the history of the world.
No, they haven't.
Strategy seems to be to call Biden a criminal. Why is that?
He is a criminal. He's a criminal. He got caught. Read his laptop. And you know who's a criminal? You're a criminal for not reporting it. You are a criminal for not reporting it. Let me tell you something. Joe Biden is a criminal, and he's been a criminal for a long time. And you're a criminal in the media for not reporting it.
You know, just because you're a reporter for CNN or some other outfit,
does not mean you cannot be libeled or slandered. And in most jurisdictions, one of the old rules, rules of thumb, is that an allegation of criminality is called slander per se. An allegation of criminal conduct is called slander per se. That means one need not prove damages. And it just is slander. If you can prove slander per se, you've just about removed all the jury questions involved. And he should be sued. You're a criminal. And of course, the Biden business that he's talking about, I don't really have to go over this, but he's referring to the dodgy, sketchy, drunken Rudy Giuliani pitch made to the Rupert Murdoch New York Post that even other maggoty sorts of publications wouldn't touch because, well, it's entirely a construct derived from bullshit information from Russian operatives working directly with, you know, Rudy. Oh, well. But you're a criminal. You're a criminal. We're rapidly reaching. I've got a little bit more audio from that same press gaggle.
That's how a good dog should be. Here, Yeller, come back, Yeller.
Yeah, I'm afraid old Yeller's got the hydrophobia. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lee in New York.
I've done things that nobody else has done.
That Trump quote, Lee says, I can agree with. Now we have to vote, if we haven't already. Suman, with a note, Nostradamus Scott. Man, I have to give all credit to Scott from San Diego. When he first said that the Hunter Biden story would be shoved on us till the election before the media picked up on this stupid story, I did not believe him. Turns out he was like Nostradamus all along. Hunter Biden, the Benghazi of our time. We will hear about Hunter Biden till we're all fit to lose our minds. Yep. Don't doubt. Do not be a doubter, Suman. You listen to this program. You're way in, out in front of everything. Here the latest, Flavio asks. Trump said the Biden family was a criminal enterprise. With Trump, it's all projection all the time. Yeah, it is. He can't. He's in the hands of the goddess of irony. Oh. Stephen, New York, says the worst thing is
Fauci took the fucking strawberries. I could have proven it. I could have proven it with the strawberries, but Fauci took the fucking strawberries.
Nice reference, Steve. Yeah. And no, says Stephen, New York. Kristen Welker's Twitter timeline has not been erased. Looks like he lied. In other breaking news, the sun is a star. And James in Illinois pointing out, just followed her. She's right there.
Then why can't I find her?
Maybe she blocked you, dumbass. You can't see accounts that have blocked you, Donnie. Yeah. Yeah, says James in Illinois, Tony can't pitch. But Donnie can't catch. He's the guy that's wide open for an easy fly ball, but he has to look away to make sure everyone sees him, and wham! Right in the forehead.
Trick ball, so unfair, the other side cheated.
Chico Escuela, Donald Trump did not keep his eye on the ball. Yeah. Oh, there's another one. Oh, we're off and running on this Moran Monday. Baltimore Bob. Trump supporters have achieved herd mentality. Yes, yes, Bob. Yes, they have. Yes, they have indeed. So it is Moran Monday. And, you know, we got some pushback. Media raised some good points on Thursday. About the conversation we had about the Comey Barrett clan. And lo and behold, the New York Times, which is constantly behind this program, but whatever, the New York Times wrote an article about the adoption of John Peter and Vivian. They were adopted out of a Haitian orphanage. And the New York Times took that basic fact and pointed out that Nitwit Nero has consistently tried to limit disaster refugees and immigrants from entering this country. The New York Times article read, "Just as everything with her nomination, the adoptions have been hard to totally separate from the politics of the moment. Advocates hope the Barrett story will encourage other prospective parents to come forward. Detractors have criticized her as white saviorism. The judge's public accounts of her children's dire situations before they left Haiti." Well, lo and behold, just as predicted, the howls of bullshit, righteous indignation weren't long in coming. In fact, it was Moscow Mitch McConnell, who frankly doesn't give a fuck about children in his own state of Kentucky, you know, the ones who are born with birth defects because of the toxic dust flying off of mountaintop removal operations. Or the ones who go hungry. Or don't get adequate educations. He doesn't give a shit about them, but today he issued a statement. The political left and the press should leave Judge Barrett's cheerings alone. The nominee introducing her family in a few sentences of prepared remarks does not give the New York Times license to start treating minor children like objects of public curiosity. Well, actually, Mitch, you treasonous old prick, kind of does. When you bring your kids as stage props to your confirmation hearing in order to try to forestall questions about your sick, twisted, and bizarre social, political, and cultural ideology, yeah, it does invite scrutiny. Only a few far-left commentators and now the Toms have opted to scrutinize Judge Barrett's children rather than her qualifications. If Judge Barrett happened to be a liberal icon, the press would be running interference against personal attacks and hounding Republicans to denounce them, not pretending they represent some chin-stroking national conversation. Chin-stroking? Really? Yeah. Told you. Once again, way the hell out in front of the curve. And they were adopted out of an orphanage. Wonder what kind of orphanage. Wonder what it was that put the Barretts to the front of the adoption line. I think it's okay to ask that question. In fact, I'm certain it's okay to ask that question, and I know it's okay to ask that question because Chinless Mitch McConnell is out there having a hissy to get people to not ask that question. He said. Yeah. It's going to, well, more ands. Lots and lots of more ands. But it was kind of interesting. Yesterday, Sunday, Nitwit Nero was in Nevadistan, and he decided to go to church. Needed to feel the loving, saving grace of Christ Jesus. No, that wasn't it at all. What he needed was to go to a room full of mask-hole COVIDiots and get some worship. Not to worship, but to be worshipped at the International Church of Las Vegas. Oh, there's American flags all over the place. And lots and lots of music and carrying on. And pastors Mark and Denise Goulet blessed Trump personally and said they'd had a sign from God. Yeah. And masks? No, not really. Today.
Make me a vessel.
Yeah. Make me. Call me a cab. All right. You're a cab. No social distancing. And then the preacher. Well, this.
He wasn't telling me the truth about this man. I'm not here to talk about this man, but he happens to be here, and I want to honor him and affirm him, because when I appeal to the king, I appeal for him.
The king. I guess that's the great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky. Jehovah, whatever, and he pointed at Trump and said, I appeal for him. No politicking going on in that church. Oh, heck no. And so much for thou shalt have no other gods before me. Right. Brother Deacon Asus is using your children as stage props as a way to get hired for a highfalutin position. Can you say Amy Crony Barrett? Why, yes, I can. Well, exactly. Billable Rick picked up on that. Chinless Mitch, the goddess of irony, wants to know how can Chinless Mitch McTurtle stroke his chin with his hand when he has no chin? Well, see, he was talking about chin stroking by other people, Billable Rick, and what that was a manifestation of pure jealousy.
Well, these liberals sit around stroking their chins. Don't they know what it's like for people like me what ain't got one?
Exactly. And there's another instance of just confirmation of us being ahead of the curve. And did you notice that when Nitwit Nero was running his gob? Because Brother Deacon Asa did.
I'm positive, or whatever you call it.
Oh, my God, says Brother Deacon. This blithering baboon thinks a positive test means it's all good.
Yeah, I know.
Just asking, says Clarence. Hey, Bob, I don't remember seeing Hunter Biden on my mail-in ballot. Why do the maggots keep talking about this guy? It's getting old. Oh, it hasn't even begun to get as old as it's going to get, even though we're down getting close to the 2-week mark till the end of the election. Because they've got to have it. Well, as Flavio noted, it's all projection with them. He's got three sleazy children, one of whom is sleazier than the other. Well, okay, I guess technically he's got five sleazy children, but the youngest is off limits, so, right. But, you know, I guess at one point in time, Ivanka and Don Jr. and Eric the Dumber and even Tefania were adorable, too. That's the weird difference between childhood and adulthood. Yeah. Lee in New York pointing out spread of melanoma. First from NBC, First Lady Melanoma Trump returning to campaign trail after lengthy absence, says Lee in New York. I really don't care, do you? No, not really. Well, I mean, except to the extent that she taking those taxpayer-funded kidneys on the road. Yeah, whatever. Right. Jack in Shreveport, subject line, maggot moranity. I saw MSNBC reports from the end of the Arizona Trump rally where maggots were dancing to the Village People's YMCA, even doing the letters with their arms while dancing. With all the gay-hating thoughts and probably conversations there, I thought the goddess gay was something to laugh at, considering the band's, you know, membership and following. And I know. It's a beautiful thing. Somebody's having fun with it. I think I saw over the weekend that John Fogerty says that he'll sue. Is it John Fogerty that's going to sue Trump? Well, good. Unfortunately, that becomes a matter of take a number. International Church of Las Vegas, Lee in New York, says, oh, goddess of irony, did Trump pray for a winning bet to pay off a $400 million debt? Did Trump pray for a profitable casino? Maybe he prayed for suburban women to like him.
Please clap. Please, you gotta like me.
Yeah. church footage, Matt in San Francisco says the footage of 45 sitting in the pew yesterday only illustrated the visual of how he squats on the commode to anger tweet. That, remember, Matt, that's called twooping. Twooping. T-W-O-O-P-I-N-G. Twooping. Because, of course, it is. Yeah, well, you know, the fact that he walked into a church and was not struck by lightning is just further confirmation for me that there's just not a whole lot of anything but fiction wrapped up in religion. Because what self-respecting deity would allow itself to be defecated all over by the presence of Donald Trump? Oh, and just a little heads up. After an appearance of the Sean Foicht Let Us Worship tour in Kansas City, even as the hospitals in that area were being overwhelmed by COVID-19, and just a day before the Associated Press reported 8 Kansas City area hospitals were refusing to admit ambulances because they were already out of space because of the pandemic. Well, Sean Foicht had himself one of his super spreader events right there in KCMO. A bunch of mask hole COVIDiots, butthole to belly button, standing in a park, putting their arms in the air and a shouting and a praying and a hooting and a spraying and a larping and a smollicking and a grabulating and lollygagging all over one another. Oh, yeah. Hashtag let us worship. My God, it looked like Mike Pence was in the front of the group. Yeah. You don't want to be anywhere near Mill Creek Park in Kansas City. The viruses, the COVID is probably still running around there. Oh, they were huddled up together and spraying on each other and praying in tongues and whatnot.
Every class in this nation.
I love that one song. Jesus, you are so worthy! You know, Jesus, the Son of God, and God himself, according to, you know, the Holy Spirit and all that crap. Well, thanks for that. I'm glad to know you think I'm worthy, you pitiful mortal.
Every ethnic group in this nation, God. Every people group, God. I pray that you raise them up and send them up with a passion for your name, God. That they will represent you in every state, from New York to California and all bits in between there, God. That they will represent you and glorify your holy name.
Jesus Christ. So that was Kansas City. As Kansas City burns with COVID-19. And see, this is all just cynical marketing. You know, there's no concerts. There's nowhere for Billable Rick to go and see live entertainment in Southern California right now. Or much of anywhere else. The great acts that were wonderful on the road, the bands that I love, like the Drive-By Truckers or Amanda Pearl Shires, Jason Isbell, the great show that takes place down in Charleston at the Cultural Center of the Mountain Stage. None of that's happening now. But these assholes see an opportunity to come and set up a super spreader event, pass the hat, all in the name of cheesy-ass, conscienceless publicity. Oh, there was folks getting hands laid on them. Because, you know, there's nothing quite like getting really up close and personal. There's that dude that looks for all the world like Mike Pence, and he's bowed all the way down with his head on his hands. Like he's praying toward Mecca or something.
Chris, come on, let's give him. Come on. There's more. Come on, there's more of you.
Oh, that's so cute. There's a little 20-something girl, and she's laying her hands on another little 20-something girl. And she's got her mouth about 3 inches away from the little 20-something girl, and she's just a hollering and a carrying on and a spraying. I swear, you can about see the spit of flying. Probably had to, poor thing, probably had to wipe herself down by the time they was done with all the blessing and the praying.
Come on, keep coming.
Oh, there's a hugging and a crying on each other. Well, there's a reason I'm mentioning all of this horse shit. Remember, this guy comes from the Bethel Church there in, what is it? Is it Redding, California? Next stop, the National Mall, Washington, D.C., October 25th. He's going to call down Jesus to come and support Amy Tony's parrot. Yes, he is. And since the National Park Service controls the mall, and since the National Park Service is controlled by the executive branch, there will be no enforcement whatsoever on restrictions on gatherings. And now Sean Feucht is taking it to the next level, saying, well, I think there's a pretty good chance that Donald Trump or Mike Pence will even show up. Now, for instance, Shasta County, California, where Bethel Church is, alongside its School of Supernatural Ministry, county officials there confirmed 274 cases of COVID-19 directly connected to what is referred to as the evangelical Christian Hogwarts. Yeah. 274 cases in Shasta County just related to that disease-spreading school. Then there's Benny Johnson, not to be confused with Benny and the Jets. She's the wife of the founder of that House of Gospel Hustle. And, Redding. Where a resident told the Daily Beast last week, "We're now just days away from going into a lockdown, all thanks to Bethel, Sean Feucht, and their careless activities." Well, here's Benny not in the Jets. Yeah, it'll take a minute for the ad to run a minute, right.
Just say that there is way too much security in a freaking mask that doesn't even work. So we're on the coast. I won't tell you where.
You check my story, you'll know where.
Story and you'll know where.
Oh, I'm gonna
call out. Standing in the line to get our food outside. No mask on.
Like 12 feet away from people.
Yeah, and people are moving away from us.
Yeah, they're moving away from you because they know who you are, Benny. And they know that you're a plague rat.
And talking about us. And the thing is I walked up to the lady to order and I put my mouth over my sweatshirt just to be...
Your sweatshirt over your
my
mouth?
My sweatshirt over my mouth just to be nice. And she said, "No, you have to wear a mask." And she made Leah step away.
I said, "I have a medical condition. I cannot wear one."
Yeah, so she...
Yeah, she's lying. She's an evangelical Christian. So it goes without saying that she's lying.
She stepped away, and so I had to order with the mask on. And I'm like, this. So this mask is better than my sweatshirt?
That makes sense.
I don't think so. If you'll do the scientific research, these masks are worthless.
Yeah, because she should know. Benny Johnson's done the scientific research. She's got a PhD and a DD and an MD and a DO and an OD, all from Google University or maybe Trump University.
And they're peoples.
You know what? If Donald Trump still has Trump steaks going on, he'd be telling people to wear a Trump steak as a mask, and she'd have one slathered all over, slapped right across her face.
They're people's security blankets. It's just really, really sad. So we wanted to do a little bit of shopping here in this cute little town over on the coast. They have the cutest little stores. But now we won't be shopping and giving them any money because you have to wear...
Yeah, you know what you want? You know what else you won't be giving them, Benny? The fucking Rona, you disgusting disease-bearing freak.
Stupid freaking mask that doesn't work.
Let's go to Willow Creek to that one cute little farm stand.
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
You would think that'd be great. Hippies would be free.
I know, right? In fact, we even heard a lady say they must be voting for Trump.
I love that a mask is a political statement, apparently. Which it's not, because I know people that wear them that are voting for Trump. It's so stupid. No.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. The people who aren't wearing them are voting for Trump. There might be a few people who don't want to get the Rona, who are maggots, who wear a mask. But mostly it is a political statement. It's also Benny Johnson, you goddamn maggot, you filthy gospel sharp. It's also an IQ test. Jesus. At the Sean Feucht rally in Nash Vegas last week, a specialist from Vanderbilt University, speaking to a reporter who made inquiry of him for Gannett newspapers. That disease specialist said it is 100% certain that the virus was spread at that super spreader, Christian diseased Christian event. So, 9 days, 9 days before the election ends, Sean Feucht will have a super spreader event in Washington, D.C., and he says it's a divine setup from heaven to make sure that, because, well, frankly, this the confirmation of Amy Tony's parrot requires no divine intervention because the fix is already in. That's like that's like the gambler who's got five aces up his sleeve, crediting God with the fact that he laid down four aces and, you know, won the hand. Right. And Sean Feucht is associated with another freak by the name of Lou Engel. And Lou Engel made a bit of a shtick praying for Ruth Bader Ginsburg to die. Yeah. Great folks, those Christians. And it's sort of like a religion hustle super friends kind of thing. It was, 10 days ago when one of these grifters by the name of Rick Joyner and Lou Engel and Janet Porter, who's all obsessed with fetal heartbeats, and then the greatest grifter that the concept of history has ever known, David Barton, all prayed over Sean Feucht. I wish I was kidding. I'm not. No. And by the way,
Sean, I'm
just so you'll know, they actually refer to Amy Tony's parrot as a hand-picked handmaiden to fill the vacancy in the court. They're calling her a handmaid. I created the hashtag Judge Handmaid and Justice Handmaid. They're calling her a handmaid. Woo! And by the way, I saw a more full-length photo of that dress she wore day one of the hearings. She stole that from the costume shop of The Handmaid's Tale, almost right down to the color.
I'm pretty sure you know who just Jehoshaphat is.
Jumping Jehoshaphat.
When the army was assembled against the nation of Israel, Jehoshaphat sent out the worshipers to be the warring army to change the atmosphere. And I don't know how you got the mall on October 25th.
Well, he didn't, see. That's the funny thing. He didn't. He's just going to invade it. And nobody will do anything about it because we live in a lawless time with a lawless administration. Now, what would be good, it won't happen, but it would be good, is if the D.C. police and the Capitol police would go ahead and set foot on the mall and disperse this this disgusting display of gross immorality and wholesale malignant indifference to the well-being of others. I mean, if you can gas peaceful protesters, for God's sakes, do we not have a little bit of tear gas for a bunch of fucking freaks who are trying to spread a goddamn plague? Really?
But God gave it to you because God's given you favor to open the pathway for the courts. for the King of Glory is going to come in. God,
really? Get a tissue.
I ask that you would send forth an anointing of worship to change the atmosphere over the city of D.C., God. God, you alone are King, and you alone are our judge.
Well, thanks for telling him. He never would have known it without you.
God, as you handpicked a handmaiden to fill that vacancy in the court, God, I ask that you would change the atmosphere on the 25th, that you would open the door for an Esther to come in.
Esther.
And God, ask for a decree and an absolute reversal for everything that the enemy has planned.
The enemy. That's what we're down to. Of course, he's speaking in religion industry code. You have to know the story of Esther and Ruth. And you have to know that there's a hanging involved. Mm-hmm. Wonder who they want hanged. Yeah. Right Wing Watch does some magnificent work keeping up with all this toxic shit. Thanks to them. It's not prayer meeting Wednesday. Didn't want it to, but this, you know, this is what's coming at us. And they're desperate, these grifters are, these hustlers, these freaks. Right Wing Watch referring to it as the COVID-19 be damned tour. God. Jumping Jehoshaphat, Lee in New York, getting a little obscure. The inspiration for Jack LaLanne to have people exercise? Well, okay. Mask wearers, Ron in Raleigh says, all people that don't wear masks aren't Trump voters, but all Trump voters don't wear masks. Dunning-Kruger syndrome is at epidemic proportions. Good choice of words on epidemic, Ron, because it's not pandemic, because it's not getting everybody, but it's getting a bunch. Ron adding, come on. It's not Wednesday, for goodness sake. Skip a bit, brother. Oh, but they're good. That shit won't wait. At what point in time do you suppose these toxic fuckers be held accountable for their actions? At what point in time can they be sued for all the unnecessary cases of COVID-19 that they're bringing to places like Nashville and Kansas City? Oh, and you hear that crackling? Megan, during Friday on the front porch, mentioned to me, she said, I sent you a package. Did you get it? And I said, yeah. And the conversation was going kind of quickly. But I want to take a moment to thank Megan for this delightful little box. Megan is kind of, well, she's been a little worried about my sense of equipoise or my bliss. My mental health. And God, I laughed. What's crackling here is a bag of, it's called Bag of Unicorn Poop. Rainbow flavored popcorn with a unicorn on the front. And then there's the Unicornucopia Retaste the Rainbow Unicorn Barf Rainbow Cotton Candy. Bag of Unicorn Farts Cotton Candy, a rainbow of smiles inside, 100% magical, 100% majestic, and 100% mythical. Mm-hmm. Fruit punch flavored, no less. So, the Sparkle Fart Propelled Unicorn Cavalry Purity Patrol, bag of Reindeer Farts Cotton Candy, Santa's favorite Christmas treat. Yes. Peppermint flavored. I'm all set in case my sense of peace and calm and tranquility, for which I'm well known, begins to waver. And I thank you very kindly. Thank you very kindly, Megan. That was delightfully creative, and it just made my day. And Agnes just giggled. It's so cute. I don't know if I've got the heart to open it. But Well, it's not every day you get fruit punch flavored cotton candy in a bag that's labeled unicorn farts. But Megan, I'm a little worried. Is it gonna induce fits of ideological purity? All right, hey, stop that. I'm the host, okay? I make the rules. If Scott can't stir, says Ron and Raleigh, you can't crackle. Yes, I can. Why? Because I have all the buttons. That's why. Equanimity, says Lou. Noun, mental calmness, composure, and evenness of temper, especially in a difficult situation. She accepted both the good and the bad with equanimity. Equanimity is a state of psychological stability and composure which is undisturbed by experience of or exposure to emotions, pain, or other phenomena that may cause others to lose the balance of their mind. Thank you. Thank you, Lou. Equanimity. Words from Unity. So, letting go now, letting go now, letting everything go. Shorty has a request. Happy today, Horn family. Pretty pleased with no cigarettes on top. I have a special request for the Horn family to hear the HTO Gate Blues by Gil Scott Heron. Hearing those lyrics today are and will be extremely relevant today, more and Monday, October 19th, 2020, along with tomorrow and Wednesday. Not allowed to say why or how. What I can say, incoming big hint, the thorns, well, let's just say they won't be on in our sides. All right. I don't play a lot of music anymore, but here, this I'll do. Gil Scott Heron's worth it.
This is gonna be a blues number. Yeah. But first I want to do a little bit of background on the blues and say what it is. Like there are six cardinal colors, and colors have always come to signify more than simply that particular shade, like redneck or got the blues. That's where you apply colors to something else, you know, to come up with what it is you're trying to say. So there are six cardinal colors, yellow, red, orange, green, blue, and purple. And there are 3,000 shades. And if you take these 3,000 shades and divide them by six, you'll come up with 500. Meaning there are at least 500 shades of the blues. For example, there's the I ain't got me no money blues. There is the I ain't got me no woman blues. There's the I ain't got me no money and I ain't got me no woman, which is the double blues. And for years it was thought that black people was the only one who could get the blues, so the blues hadn't come into no international type of fame. But lately we done had Frank Rizzo with the lie detector blues. We done had the United States government talking about the energy crisis blues. And we're gonna dedicate this next poem here to Spearhead X, the X second in command in terms of this country. And the poem is called H2O GATE Blues. And if H2O is still water and GATE is still gate, what we're getting ready to deal on is the Watergate Blues. Let me see if I can dial this number right quick. Click. Click. I'm sorry. The government you have elected is inoperative. Click. Inoperative. Just how blind will America be? The world is on the edge of its seat, defeat on the horizon. Very surprising that we all could see the plot and still could not. Let me do that part again. Just how blind will America be?
Ain't no telling.
The world is on the edge of its seat, defeat on the horizon. Very surprising that we all could see the plot and claimed that we could not. Just how blind, America? Just as Vietnam exploded in the rice, snap, crackle, and pop could not stop people determined to be free. Just how blind will America be? The shock of a Vietnam defeat sent Republican donkeys scurrying down on Wall Street. And when the roll was called, it was Pepsi Cola and Phillips 66, Boeing, Dow, and Lockheed. Ask them what they're fighting for, and they'll never mention the economics of war. Ecological warfare, above all else, destroy the land. If we can't break the Asian will, we'll bomb the dikes and starve the man. America, the international Jekyll and Hyde, the land of a thousand disguises, sneaks up on you but rarely surprises, plundering the Asian countryside in the name of Fu Manchu. Afraid of shoeless, undernourished Cambodians, while we strike big wheat bargains with Russia, our nuclear enemy. Just how blind, America? But tell me, who was around where Hale Boggs died? And what was the cause of LBJ's untimely demise? And what really happened to J. Edgar Hoover? The king is proud of Patrick Gray, while America's faith is drowning beneath that cesspool, Watergate. How long will the citizens sit and wait? It's looking like Europe in 38. Did they move to stop Hitler before it was too late? How long, America, before the consequences of keeping the school system segregated, allowing the press to be intimidated, watching the price of everything soar, and hearing complaints because the rich want more? It seems that Macbeth and not his lady went mad. We've let him eliminate the whole middle class. The dollar's the only thing we can't inflate, while the poor go on without a new minimum wage. But what really happened to J. Edgar Hoover? The king is proud of Patrick Gray, and there are those who say America's faith is drowning beneath that cesspool, Watergate. How much more evidence do the citizens need that the election was sabotaged by trickery and greed? And if this is so, and who we got didn't win, let's do the whole goddamn election over again. The obvious key to the whole charade would be to run down all of the games they played. Remember Dieter Beard and ITT, the slaughter of Attica, the CIA in Chile, knowing nothing about Allende at this time in the past, as I recollect. Augusta, Georgia, the nomination of Supreme Court Justice to head off the tapes, William Calley's executive interference in the image of John Wayne, Kent State, Jackson State, Southern Louisiana, hundreds of authorized bombing raids, the chaining and gagging of Bobby Seale. Somebody tell these Maryland governors to be for real. We recall all of these events just to prove the waterbuggers in the Watergate wasn't no news. The thing that seems to justify all of our fears is that all this went down in the last 5 years. But tell me, what really happened to J. Edgar Hoover? The king is proud of Patrick Gray, while America's faith is drowning beneath that cesspool, Watergate. We leave America to ponder the image of justice from its new wave of leaders. Frank Rizzo, the high school graduate mayor of Philadelphia whose ignorance is surpassed only by those who voted for him. Richard Daley, imperial Napoleonic mayor of Chicago who took over from Al Capone and continues to implement the same tactics. George Wallace, Lester Maddow, Strom Thurmond, Ronald Reagan, an almost endless list that won't be missed when at last America is purged. And the silent White House with the James brothers once in command. But see the sauerkraut mafia men deserting the sinking White House ship and their main mindless megalomaniac Ahab. McCord has blown, Mitchell has blown, no tap on my telephone. McCord has blown, Mitchell has blown, no tap on my telephone. Haldeman, Ehrlichman, Mitchell, and Dean, it follows a pattern if you dig what I mean. Haldeman, Ehrlichman, Mitchell, and Dean, it follows a pattern if you dig what I mean. And what are we left with now? Bumper stickers that say Free the Watergate 500. Spy movies of the same name with a cast of thousands. And that ominous phrase that if Nixon knew, Ag knew. But Ag didn't knew enough to stay out of jail. And what really happened to J. Edgar Hoover? The king is proud of Patrick Gray. And there are those who swear they've seen King Richard. Richard, King 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 Richard. Beneath that cesspool, Watergate. Four more years of that.
Yeah, no. Nice call, Shorty. Nice call. Gil Scott-Heron, genius. Dave, number 11. I want to hear music by Jean-Luc Ponty, David Lee Roth, John Bon Jovi, and Blue Oyster Cult. I guess I'm missing the point. Oh, there's no making some people happy. Hey, thank you very kindly to Charlene in Rogues Island. And thank you to John. That means we are down to $80 to go on the two combined challenges. The When Donnie Chooses, You Loses challenge. And Darlene's challenge as well. So hopefully we'll knock that out. And that'll get us close to done for the... done for the day, and closer to paying the bills. It'll keep things going here as we move toward the 15th anniversary as an online only and 18 years in multiple formats. Thank you. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you, John. Thank you very kindly. It is, need to check here. Had a note, oh, where'd you go? Shasta County News, courtesy of Sparky. I lived in Redding, Sparky says, for over 30 years. Chock-a-block full of maggots. News from today. All Shasta County libraries closed due to a spike in COVID-19 cases. This from ABC7 KRCR. All public libraries in Shasta County will close on Tuesday. The closures come during an increase in new COVID-19 cases. The recent spike is expected to put Shasta County in the most restrictive purple tier on Tuesday. And we can thank Sean Feucht and Benny Johnson and her creepy husband and their Christian Hogwarts for that. And nobody can do a damn thing about them because of our fetishized approach to the First Amendment to the Constitution. Going back to Benny Lee in New York said, she wants to shop, but she won't do it because she has to wear a mask. Oh, boo-hoo. And they probably want her to wear shoes, too. No shirt, no shoes, no... Oh, dear. Speaking of sending an Esther, Scott in San Diego. Yeah, God, send on Esther. These twerps think God has trouble hearing. They're always bellowing. And not just bellowing, into a microphone, they're bellowing. Oh, don't you do that, Randy Radar says. We'll just start calling you Bernie Bro Bob now that you got all those sparkle fart goodies. Oh, and a lovely little box arrived today, helping with my... continued non-smoking efforts. Today is day 35. Yeah, 5 whole weeks today. And I got a box of wonderful gourmet lollipops. Because the nice thing about a lollipop is it gives you something to fool around with in terms of, you know, there's a stick, kind of like a cigarette, from See's Candies. And they are fan-freaking-tastic. Vanilla, butterscotch, cafe latte, and chocolate. Thank you, Tracy. Thank you so much. Manufactured by See's Candies, Inc. and See's Candy Shops, Inc. South San Francisco, California, and Los Angeles, California. And they are fantastic. Yes, indeed. Which reminds me, another unpaid product placement. I have a pair of Merrell Moab high-top hiking boots. super light, Gore-Tex lined. And when I took my little walk last week down the rail trail, I stomped around a little bit in some shallower parts of Mill Creek, and they are still bone dry. No water let through. So those Merrill Moabs are probably 10 years old if they're a minute. And they're still magnificent. So I don't know if Merrills are still that good, but man, I never expected to get 10 years out of a pair of hiking boots. Christian Hogwarts. Stephen New York says, from what I've seen of Hogwarts, Christian seems to be an unnecessary modifier, since what they teach at the real Hogwarts is more Christian than most churches. Well, that's true, but there's the whole zippity-doola, icky-kaboola, bibbity-bobbity-boo with the... And, of course, that's devils. Them's devils. Hey, thank you to Dave number 11, who apparently this weekend paid a visit to Granzella's and sent a photograph of a great wall of pickles and olives and what looked like to be a fantastic sandwich. Wow. It was just beautiful. I had to run to the refrigerator to my emergency stock of remaining olive brine and just get a swig to get me past the photos. Thank you, Dave. And so down to $60 to go on the challenge. Awesome. It's Moran Monday, and, well, our pal Tamara turned me on to this. There you are, a member of the multimillionaire for-profit media, highfalutin legal commentator, and I mean, I guess these things just happen. It's one of the casualties of Zoom culture. What, there was a hit single a lot of years back called "Who's Zooming Who." I always wondered if there was a sort of a, if that was some sort of sexual euphemism. I can be kind of nerdy that way. But nonetheless, there was a Zoom meeting, because it's Moran Monday, you know. It was supposed to be an election simulation with a number of highfalutin multimillionaire media members, especially from the New Yorker magazine. Kind of like a Columbo episode where you know who done it at the beginning and you watch the process roll through. Well, Jeffrey Toobin has been suspended. Jeffrey Toobin, legal analyst, issuing a statement to Motherboard. Jeffrey Toobin said, "I made an embarrassingly stupid mistake believing I was off camera. I apologize to my wife, family, friends, and coworkers. I believed I was not visible on Zoom. I thought no one on the Zoom call could see me. I thought I'd muted the Zoom video." Mm-hmm. He was still the chief legal analyst at CNN as of Saturday. But after that, CNN announced, Jeff Toobin has asked for some time off while he deals with a personal issue, which we have granted. Yeah. You see, what happened was they were having this test run for election coverage. It was to be a simulation of what it would be like when the results started rolling in, and maybe Nitwit Nero started tweeting about how all the ballots were fake and fraudulent if they weren't votes for me. Yeah, that kind of stuff. And during this simulation, well, Jeffrey Toobin just started playing with himself. I mean, there's really, I mean, I guess we could try to pretty it up if using the word masturbate pretties anything up. But, yeah. Yeah. Well, Agnes gets a cowbell. Agnes noting, at least we know he's excited about the election. The article from Vice merely noting that he exposed himself during the Zoom call. Jeffrey. Father wants to see me. Sorry, wrong movie. Nobody wants to see that, Jeffrey. So now the answer to the question who's Zoom and who is apparently for 500, Alex, who's Jeffrey Toobin? Now, this wasn't a case of him being like a spoiled, rotten Hollywood comedian or anything like that and subjecting someone to something off. He thought, I mean, he was just passing the time. You know, it can get like that. You're not necessarily on, you know, you're not on. Other people are talking. So, you know, just, I guess, rub one out to pass the time. It's just washing it really fast. That's all, just washing. I apologize to my wife, family, friends, and coworkers. And really, for a highfalutin legal analyst, I believed I was not visible on Zoom. I thought no one on Zoom call could see me. I thought I'd muted the Zoom video. Well, this is one of those moments when...
Did I just hear you take up for him?
No, I didn't.
Did it happen?
No, I wasn't.
No, you don't take your minky out when other people are around and play with it, whether it's mute or not.
No, but see, the thing is, if it can happen to Jeffrey Toobin, then my prophecy is probably going to come true, and it'll happen to Donald Trump, and he'll just start, you know, maybe Thursday during the debate. I was not taking up for him.
Your mother raised you better than that.
Right!
I would slap the mortal piss out of you if you take
up. Don't hit me!
I will. Domestic violence. Right here, right now. COVID. Now, be nice.
Well, I am being nice.
You heard me.
I mean, it's not like he was trying to abuse anybody.
That's horrible.
He was
just... That's not the point.
You ever been in a meeting like that?
I used to have...
I mean, things get dull. You just reach down there, play a little pocket billiards.
Is that what you used to think of during our meeting?
No.
Oh, my God. Somebody better pray for you, Bob.
No, I mean, it could happen.
What?
I mean,
no, it can't.
Help me.
That's perverted.
Help me.
They can't hear. No. Scream a little louder. Help me. God cannot hear you.
Oh, she's going to sentence me to sit on. She's going to sentence me to sit on Mike Pence's head some more.
Oh.
Apologize. So. Eventually, I guess Jeffrey Toobin will be forgiven because he wasn't doing it to harass him. He was just killing time. You think you're nerdy, says Steve in New York? The song Who's Zooming Who used to bug me because it wasn't Who's Zooming Whom. Well, that is I didn't bring up that part, but there's that English major component, too. Oh, dear Bob, you don't piss off the Viking warrior princess. No, you don't. No, you sincerely don't. Whoa, whip it out. Scott in San Diego says, unless Toobin died... No, this is worse than you stirring your coffee. Unless Toobin dyed his winky orange and put a straw-colored fright wig on it for Donald Trump puppet playhouse, leave it in your pants, Jeffrey. Well, thank you, Tamara. You've made... You helped to take Moore in Monday and run it right off the tracks and down into the gutter. And, well, now we're... Lee in New York. Zoom. Jeffrey Toobin thought he was not on camera because he muted. Do people really not know the difference between video and audio? Cut him some slack. He's the talent. He's not supposed to know how the machines all work. James in Illinois trying to help. Would it fit? How big's your screen, Bob? It would fit on an Apple Watch. Let's put it that way. Ew! Ew! Let's all pray for Bob, says Lee. Respect the goddess of irony. Respect Agnes. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Ah, Steve also had a pair of Merrells. Wore them when I was in Ottawa, Canoodlia, in below zero weather. They were always warm, always dry, and the shoes actually outlasted the lace eyelets. Wow. That's good. Bob, stop messing with the Viking warrior princess, says Billable Rick. Just like nothing good can happen in messing with Bigfoot, as in the Jack Link beef jerky commercial. Don't mess with the Viking warrior pharaoh princess. I wasn't trying to.
I didn't know she was listening. You people have to tell me when she's standing back there.
Steve in New York. I move that we restart the entire program. Do I hear a second?
It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
America.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal.
Oh, now I've screwed up the live audience and the podcast, too. No, I was just taking Steve at his word. We'll consider the program restarted, and that never happened. So, who? Jeffrey what? Did which? Nope. Don't know anything about it. Not a damn thing. Steve pointed out also... Do you think those evangelical freaks know that Amy Coney Barrett is a conservative Catholic? Honestly, she probably doesn't recognize the legitimacy of any Protestant sect. Legitimacy? She'd probably like to have them burnt at the stake. Or at least have a little fun with thumbscrews. Maybe a little Iron Maiden.
Bogus.
All right, let's see if we can salvage the program and run over to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Yo, Bob, happy Monday to you, man.
What's happening, Reggie?
I heard you were talking about your least, or should I say your most favorite subject, the for-profit media, and saying that Jeffrey Toobin needs to take some time off. Do you know who else needs to join him in on his vacation?
Who's that?
Wolf Blitz, or Wolf Blitz out of his fucking mind. When he went after Nancy Pelosi last week.
Oh,
who,
that would be...
That was just
professional wrestling. That's all that was.
Yeah, but didn't you enjoy it? Didn't you, as I did, enjoy when she broke her... When she checked them?
Yeah, as in, I don't know why you ask stupid shit like that.
Yes, yes, yes. And accusing her of nothing, obviously... Of what? What did he accuse her of? Withholding the stimulus deal or not doing anything about it or something?
Yeah, why haven't you done something? As if Mitch McConnell was just somebody that she could shove around and he'd do whatever she told him.
Right. Well, he's not a robot or a slave or a machine or her puppy or puppet. I mean, he's not a dog. He's a human being.
No, like, well, I mean, he might be rabid, but he's not a dog.
Right. Well, she's not tyrannical, unlike somebody else.
She doesn't have ultimate cosmic powers. No, Reggie, you're right.
No, she does not. Don't you hate it when journalists do that, attack certain politicians?
Well, he was just trying to generate some clicks. That just happens.
Well, don't you think he should have retired a long time ago? I mean, he's out of touch. Some people say, or most people say, he's out of touch. He's into the Matrix-style bubble, which means he's out of touch with reality. You know, asking stupid questions like that. Would he have asked that to a man? Or any, you know, would he have done that to a man? No, of course he wouldn't. He would have been checked by him, too. Right, Bob, or am I wrong on that?
No. Look, it's not a gender thing. At least I don't think.
No, it is.
I don't think so. No, it's just him trying to generate some clickbait for his employer.
Right, his boss. Right, because I'm sure his show is failing. Well, I don't know if anybody watches it much anymore.
Look, he's good enough to keep his job. That's what matters.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is, but still, he should brush up on his journalism skills. Nobody else would have done what he did to her last week. No one. Not even not even Chris Matthews, if he himself was still in there, he wouldn't do that.
Oh, I don't know. I think that any of them can be capable of it.
Why you say that, Bob? And you, but you probably wouldn't like it.
Because there's money involved.
Go ahead, Bob.
Because there's money involved.
Yeah, they try to get that check. They try to get that check and not and stay employed as to be being unemployed. You know. But what did Jeffrey Toobin do, by the way?
That story was never actually broadcast. We restarted the program, Reggie, so.
Right. Well, he did something for them to tell him to take a few days off or something because.
A couple of days off, a little therapy, a little cold water on the back of the neck and the code. That's what we need, Jeffrey.
What makes them think that he won't do it again?
Well, because he wasn't doing it on purpose in the first place. It's going to take a few days. They'll get the technician in there, a professional union member camera person who will explain this button that has this mute button only mutes the audio, Jeffrey. It doesn't mute the camera.
I thought he was taught that a long time ago by these guys.
No. He's talent. He doesn't know anything about the technology. He's just supposed to sit there and be brilliant.
And read teleprompters all day?
Well, no. I mean, he's supposed to opine, Reggie. He's the talent. He sits there and he talks and he says thinky stuff. And then there's always somebody there you sit down and somebody comes over and they put your little mic, your mic pack on, your wireless mic pack, and they run the wire up the back of your shirt and down the front, and they clip the mic there where your shirt buttons so you don't see the mic very much because they don't like to see the mic. And then they give you your IFB and you put it in, but now we're in COVID-19 broadcast rules and everybody's walking around with a couple of electric toothbrush heads sticking out of their ears. Ugh.
Right. Don't you hate that, Bob?
But the thing is, there's somebody. The thing is, there's somebody to do that for you when you're the talent.
Yeah,
you're not expected to know how to do. You know, knowing a little bit about technology is for us folks way down the food chain down here who have to learn it in order to get the broadcast out.
You mean like such as you yourself, Bob Kincaid, Nicole Sandler, Randy Rose, and everybody else?
Exactly. And if you're lucky, you've got a brother. If you're lucky, you've got a brother Deacon Asa and a John Fox and a Ben Birch behind you, who can just kind of pat your little hand when you feel like you're melting down because you don't understand it all and you've broken something.
Right. But what if their what if their production talent gets sick one day? You know, or they're taking a vacation time or break or some time off for family emergencies or for other personal reasons, or just don't feel like coming to work that day or that week. What if they, what if they're not around? What are these pseudo talents going to do then?
Well, no, I mean that can't happen in the for-profit media world, Reggie. It doesn't work that way.
What? But these people are human too. They have family and bills to pay.
They're huge corporations. There's redundancy. There's somebody else. It's not there's one person at 30 Rockefeller Center who knows how to hook up a microphone.
Right. Well, I hope these people get paid in full. I mean, they deserve everything they get to, shall we say, kiss the talent's ass, if you will. You know what I'm saying, Bob?
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's a lot that goes into professional broadcasting. I mean, there's makeup artists. I mean, even the guys.
Right.
Even the guys get some time in the makeup chair.
Oh, right.
Because the lights are bright, otherwise you'll just look like you've got the Rona or something. You'll be all pale and washed out. And you don't let the talent do their own makeup. You don't let the talent do their own miking. You don't let them do because you want it all to work. How many times you listen to this program? How many times have I tried to bring a caller on and said, "Oh, wrong button"? Well, if you've got a professional technician there, it's never wrong button.
Right, but aren't those lights also hot?
It depends on what kind of lights they're using. If they're using modern LEDs, LEDs can be very, very bright without a hell of a lot of heat, and that's much nicer. Because the older style lights were in fact very hot, and it would make you feel like your face was sliding off.
Were you melting?
Yes.
Were you melting? Right. You're melting. But you know, these people, like I said, I mean, the reason why you guys have to do it is because you guys don't. You're in the low. You're buried underneath the totem pole of the media food chain. You know. You have to learn all this stuff.
That's kind of what I said a little bit ago. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. But they don't have to, because all they do is just sit up there and read teleprompters and supposedly opine on stuff. I just hope that something similar doesn't happen to other people, like I said, as Chris Cuomo or even.
Oh no, I think this. No, Reggie, I think this will be an object lesson to the entire for-profit media broadcast infrastructure. Of course, it's always a guy.
Yeah,
it's never one of the very seldom, with the exception of that one case that you and I talked about a couple of months ago. It's never one of the on air women who gets caught doing this. It's always one of the on air guys, because we're. Even Richard Pryor was talking about this back in the 70s,
right?
And well, I'm not gonna reference that either, because it'll just bring back Agnes will come back here and yell at me again and threaten to hit me.
Just to remind me, one of the women that this happened to, what was her name and what happened to her? What did she do?
Remember, she eventually got canned.
Oh, you mean Barbara, you mean over there at ABC?
Yeah.
Oh, Barbara, whatever her last name
can't
was.
Can't remember.
We're
right.
We're talking about Robin Roberts and Sonny Holster, who
yes.
wrote a book about it.
Yeah.
She wrote a book about it. She eventually got canned, like you said. It took them a long time to do it, but at least they eventually done it.
Right.
Hopefully that doesn't ever happen again either, but you may never, so you never know, and we can never ever say never, can we, Bob?
Right. And gosh, I wish I hadn't brought that story up, but at least it brought a little bit of disgusting merriment to an otherwise busy day of morons. Hey, Reggie, you take care, man. It's good talking to you. We'll check in with you soon, all right?
Right. Do you think that he came back and apologized at Jeffrey Toobin? You know,
he issued a statement. He apologized. He embarrassed everybody, all that kind of thing. Reggie, take care, man. Another call coming in. Later. Bye.
Have a happy Monday, man.
Thanks. Bye. And, hey, who have I got?
This is George from California.
Hey, George, how you doing?
I'm good. I just wanted to add, do you mean Jeffrey whipped his tubing out?
Oh, all right, George.
Cowbell. Thanks.
You're Bye, welcome. Bob. Bye. Now you guys just call in with a one-liner. Oh, yeah, God. My mother wanted me to be a piano player in the whorehouse, but no. All right, Scott, what's up?
They say the TV lights are hot on TV. Jesus. This is not Jeffrey Toobin's first rodeo, okay? he has gone.
Don't say.
He's been on.
I don't want to think about that happening at a rodeo either. Scott, I tried to restart the program, buddy.
Bob, this bears mentioning. He's been on every.
Don't say bear either. People might misunderstand that as B-A-R-E.
Oh, God. He's been on virtually every network as a talking head since at least the 70s or 80s. One of the first things you learn when you go into radio or TV?
Don't play with yourself on air.
The second rule. What was the... I mean,
it was right there on the wall at the Gospel Voice. Rule one, don't play with yourself.
Oh! God.
Rule two, wash your hands if you do.
don't fiddle with the knobs unless you've watched all of your...
Rule three! Use paper towel to touch knobs. See rule two.
You're going to have to cheer up, Bob.
Oh, Jesus.
You're going to have to...
It was just when, no, when you got this started, I thought, the gospel voice. Rule one, Jesus says, don't play with yourself on air.
My God.
I'll be better in a minute. Or worse. Yeah. Depends on how you look at it.
Well, let's see if I can get my equilibrium back.
Equanimity. The word is equanimity. Lou already told us that one.
The password is equanimity.
Jesus says.
Oh, we did. You were quoting the word from Unity before.
That wait. Okay, what was rule one? Always assume that the mic is on.
Yes, or the camera.
Right.
If you're, which is the same thing.
Right. Assume that it's on.
Oh God. And that's one thing to make a mistake just out of sheer stupidity. But if you've been around as long as Jeffrey has in the media, on television and radio and stuff, you have got to know.
No. But see, that's the thing. You and Reggie both are missing the point.
Yeah.
He's the talent. Okay? He would never do something like that on a set. But this is a goddamn laptop cam.
Well, that is true.
Okay? And he's having to negotiate all this technology himself, and he's just the talent.
Yeah, but...
talent don't know that kind of shit.
We've been doing from-home broadcasting on TV and talking head hits for 8 or 10 months now. You haven't seen anybody else whip
it
out.
Yeah, sure. They told him how to get the laptop to see the camera and how they'll get the laptop to hear them... hear the microphone. Nobody ever said, you know, don't do that.
The only conceivable...
I tried to restart the program.
Well, it, the only person with gravitas to get away with something like that would have been Milton Berle. You know, because, I mean, at least he would have something worth seeing. You know? According to legend.
That is the legend.
Let me Milton, I think he winked at me. Anyway, let me...
But honey, this one's eating my popcorn.
Oh, dear God. How much longer until the...
end of the program?
Day?
An hour and 7 minutes.
No. The voting day is a week and a day away. What could possibly go wrong, Bob? What indeed could possibly go wrong between now and the third?
Everything.
You bet your ass. Well, Trump is going to be a wreck by the time. I mean, he's already fraying around the edges psychologically. I mean, I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to try to diagnose him, but just listen to the man. You know. Bashing Fauci and, you know, hiring on this, what's his name, Charles Atlas, his head assistant in charge of misinformation. What's his name, Atlas? Scott Atlas.
Yes. Scott, I think. I don't know.
Yeah.
You called him Professor Dreamy Buns, and I think we can just live with that.
No, that was the Walter Reed doctor.
Oh.
Now, I've never seen Scott Atlas. I've seen Charles Atlas. But on the back of comic books?
Yes.
You know, are you getting sand kicked in your face? Are you a 97-pound weakling? Send no money. Just mail this handy coupon for the Charles Atlas bodybuilding.
Act now manual. And we send you a free package of sea monkeys. Yeah, I know.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. I used to, when I was really in a bad way, I'd put sea monkeys in my martinis, Bob. And it was a sight to see.
I imagine it was, and seeing those little sea monkeys stagger around inside the glass must have been something too.
Get on the olive before we die. a little drunken sea monkeys bomb. God. But we'll leave the Republicans out of this. Well, you can tell how bad it is. They're all, a lot of them are bailing. They're trying to get off the ship, but they didn't do it quick enough, Bob. It was like Nixon, getting off the Nixon train back in 73 and into 74. You know, it doesn't help you, Scott, or Barry Goldwater, 2 days before the fucking resignation, to go visit Dick at the White House. By then, it's too late. You've got to jump off the Trump train.
Wait, isn't that what they say about lazy Jehovah's Witnesses? They didn't visit Dick. Or is that lazy Mormons?
I don't know. But they travel in twos, Bob, and Mormon boys do. And you never see a Mormon girl.
Well, the Jehovah's Witnesses travel in sedans.
I'll be here all night, I'm afraid. I always tell them I can't talk now because I'm going out to give blood. And then they get this look on their face and run. You just, why? They tripped over a squirrel one day. I was out there trying to feed my squirrel.
Next time, tell them you're going out to get blood.
Oh, I'm going to get blood. Come with me. We'll pass out.
Oh, if you talk like that, they'll ask to see your new kidneys.
I said kiddly, didn't I? Anyway, God, stop me, Bob. Do you know what happened to me on Saturday?
Unless you hum a few bars.
You will never guess. Saturday, I got up around noon. I'm sitting here drinking my coffee, and I get a text from the landlord. And she says, do you want a bed? And I'm thinking, oh, sure, I could use a bed. I mean, the rundown thing I've been sleeping on for the past 10 years, I've got a hump. I mean, that's how bad my back is, sleeping on that thing. Apparently, the guy in the big apartment, the three-bedroom apartment, recently moved, and he left a virtually brand-new, never-been-slept-on double bed. And they brought it by on Saturday.
Never mind. Go ahead.
Okay. But anyway, it was quite a happy surprise. It's one of those dense foam beds. It's like 11 inches deep, and it's a double, which is a step up from the single that I've been sleeping on for the past 10 years. And just brand new, never been used. He put it in his guest room, and I guess he never had any guests. So I feel very fortunate when stuff like that happens. No big message, just a moment of gratitude.
Absolutely.
You were talking about the word from Unity earlier. You kind of alluded to the word from Unity. And only, I don't even know if they have at sign-off time for TV stations, the word from Unity Tower. Somebody certainly remembers that. But my first wife, when we first started dating, she was big at the Unity Kansas City, right there on the Country Club Plaza, the old historic Unity Church that the founders, the Fillmores, used to attend. And we went on some Wednesday night prayer service of some sort, and there was this rather, rotund, red-haired, German-looking, rosy-cheeked lady who was going to provide the music. And she brought her accordion, and she played a couple of Unity numbers. And I nudged my girl, who was soon to be my wife. I said, nobody is that happy, just out of nowhere. She's got to be on something. But that's the Unity way. You could be up to your neck in nasty stuff, and there's always a good reason for it. And you become a better human as a result of it. But anyway, I'm off the today.
By the way, got to give a cowbell out to Matt in San Francisco. Legal analyst. Well, that's an entirely different meaning to who's up in the polls. Yep. Now, this is a little odd. I don't think David in South Carolina stand would pull my leg in this regard. Nicole Wallace thinks Donald Trump may do it in a debate or rally. Maybe she's been listening to the horn. Hi, Nicole. Hi, your staff. Howdy. Glad to... she said Donald Trump might, quote, pull his pee-pee out and play with it before this campaign ends. Oh, are you kidding me, David? Really? God, it's like a miracle. I say it here, it comes out there. I'm Albert Brooks in broadcast news.
Yeah. Jesus. Well, you know...
Wait, okay, wait. That one's for Megan. Congratulations to you and Scott. This is the first time in the history of the show I've needed to put on an adult diaper in order to listen. Not sure if that makes you happy, Megan. I mean, but apparently there was much potential wee-releasing laughter going on. I'm good. And in fact, Brother Deacon Asa said, you're on a funny tear today, Bob, between the powwow with the VWPP, the restarting the program, and your face sliding off. You've got the ground covered. The last time I laughed this hard was a few days ago when you were telling the Nazi judge story. Give yourself a cowbell or five. Well, all right. Far be it from me. I'll take all I can get. Yeah.
Well, I've never heard you lose it the way you have today in terms of just breaking up. That's the sign of a broadcaster extraordinaire in my book. You know, because we're trained not to do it, but sometimes something will hit you funny.
It has happened before. It has.
Well, very rarely, if my memory serves me correctly.
I think the shiny hiney may have been one of those moments. but who could keep it together with that? But no, it's refreshing, and we've got to have it. I mean, I hope other people were laughing with us. I do.
Well, I'm sure they were.
Because we've got to have all that and more between now and November 3rd and even after November 3rd. We've got to be able to, because laughter is cleansing. There's Ron and Raleigh. When a problem comes along, you must whip it. Yes, whip it good. Go forward. Get straight. Try to detect it. Whip it. Whip it. Good. Adding, Ron did, to loop back to the Rocky Horror Picture Show, Charles Atlas is mentioned in the lyrics of the title song. It mentions his bodybuilding technique, which was dynamic tension. More worthless info taking space in my cranium. But it's not worthless, because it just enhanced the quality and tenor of this program. Jeremy in Vermont says, the show, it's just been a wee bit of jolly good fun. Well, I'm... yes, it has been. Yes, it has been. And hopefully nothing will... No news will break that will fuck it up in the next 57 minutes.
Well, and the thing about laughter being healing, we have the capacity to laugh, so you got to figure it's there for a purpose. That's one thing you never see Trump do. I've never seen him laugh.
No, he never does. He absolutely doesn't. And that's the sign of a miserable and probably suspect human being. The only time he finds anything funny is when somebody else is in pain. And that, again, is a mark of some sort of psychopathology. Billable Rick said, Bob, stop telling us you're going to restart the program. You did, and it didn't work. No, it didn't. It didn't work. It didn't.
It's my fault. Get me started, you know. But I just... Have you ever restarted the program before, Bob? I don't think you ever have.
I think I have a couple of times when it, you know, early on when I screwed things up. But apart from that, no, not really.
And that's really...
Rule one!
Rule one.
Jesus rules of broadcasting. Rule one. Of course,
because we've got to send those reel-to-reel tapes back to Oliver B. Green, don't you know that?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Who is that other guy? Dr. J. Vernon McGee, was that his name, from Arizona somewhere? And his trip was every day he would read a certain passage from the Bible, a certain chapter or whatever, and go through it. But the gist of his shtick was, during the course of his broadcast, he would take you through, I think that was the name of the show, Through the Bible, with Dr. J. Vernon McGee. And God, you talk about tedious.
I played back in those days, my butt. You know, I got to get him on here. He's a quintessential consummate VO man. He was already the morning guy at the Gospel Voice when I signed on to do evenings. We were both about the same age.
VO?
No, not Seagram's. Voiceover. Come on.
Oh,
quit it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But I need to get him. He and another one of the jocks there were actually going to play a practical joke on me one night. I was working night shift, and they were up on the roof behind the studio, behind the, you know, where I was, because I would open, there was no smoke in there, so I would open the window and lean out the window and smoke, you know, because Jesus. But he and another friend, who has since gone on, were going to play a practical joke on me and try to scare the shit out of me, whatever. And they got to the point, they were getting ready to leap through the window, and they noticed that they noticed that my mix board was on fire. And they decided this would not be a good time to play a practical joke, and they just kind of
toddled away.
Oh, that Gates board, just something fried, I don't know. And next thing I know, then I got on the phone to the boss, said, "Boss, there's smoke pouring out of the board."
That's something else we have in common. Did you ever subscribe to Broadcasting Magazine?
Oh, heavens, yes. Absolutely. And radio and records, too. Yeah.
In the back of Broadcasting, based in Falls Church, Virginia, there was an electronic engineering consulting firm, a radio engineering consulting firm called Guatney and Jones. Well, the very first station I worked at, about 50 miles southeast of D.C. in southern Maryland, was owned by the son or son-in-law. It was a wedding present given, I guess, to the son-in-law of either Mr. Guatney or Mr. Jones. This little 3,000-watt FM station, and the transmitter, as near as I could figure, was like hand-built. It was not one that you would buy from like RCA or Gates or Harris or any of the big transmitter-making companies. No, they, being electrical engineers, broadcast engineers, built this damn thing. And all evening long on my 6 to midnight shift, when I would walk back through the kitchen into the bathroom where the AP newswire was to get the hourly news update, I would smell, I'd say, something is burning. And I checked all the ashtrays and trash cans to make sure I hadn't thrown a live, you know, cigarette butt somewhere. And this went on for several hours. So it was getting on to be about 11:30, one half hour before sign-off. And I'm walking out of the bathroom, through the kitchen, past the transmitter, and then to the studio. As I walk past the stereo generator part of the transmitter, a fucking fireball the size of a baseball popped out of the back of that thing.
A fireball the size of a canned ham.
Well, I'm telling you, and it scared the hell out of me. And the owner of the station was up in Silver Spring, which was a good hour's drive away from the station. And I called him to let him know. And he says, "Well, have you called the fire department yet?" And I said, "Well, that's a good idea. I ought to do that." So I called the fire department, and they come up our little Ho Chi Minh Trail off the dirt, you know, the dirt road, up to where the antenna is out front and the little studio building. And I don't know what they did. I guess they had special, what kind of, you wouldn't use water on that.
No.
You'd use a gas or something. But we got a new transmitter out of it. Apparently the new owner decided that he didn't want any fire hazards and got us a new transmitter.
Well, what's the sense in buying a radio station if it just burns down?
Well, yeah.
I mean, you want to be, you want to be playing the Hot 100, but not that kind of hot.
Not that hot, yeah.
Well, let's see here. Jack in Shreveport says, "Yeah, I was laughing with you. Losing it on air and laughter is great. I was totally with you. You just got to make sure you don't do some kind of vocal equivalent of showing your tubing. And yes, I've never seen Trump. Wait a minute, show in your tube. And yes, I've never seen Trump laugh, and he was the worst ever SNL guest host, just terrible. And for some reason or another, the White Rose stream crapped out, but it's back now. Getting in on the act, Mike in Cascadia says, if Tubin needs work, Tubender just popped up as an opening at Boeing last week. Boeing in St. Louis has an opening for Tubender. So
Nicole Wallace thinks Trump's going to lose it on the final debate. And
no, she thinks he's going to play with himself, which is something I've been, 6 months, a year, two? I mean, I damn well want recognition. If he does that, I want to be on the cover of the National Enquirer predicting something ridiculous for the rest of my natural born life, the way that Gene Dixon was after Kennedy.
Yeah. Gene Dixon, Jesus, well, there's another name for the past.
If you really want a quality grift, you want to go with Edgar Casey.
Oh, yeah.
Because that guy just took naps.
Edgar, your 4 o'clock is here. Go to sleep.
Thinking it's a name. It begins with an A. Maybe it's a B. I'm sensing the letter C. Maybe it's D. It's E. Yeah, Edgar. Yes.
I see a dumpy little woman. It's Mrs. Casey, Edgar. Oh, never mind. His organization is still down there in Virginia Beach.
Oh, yes, they are.
Which is really interesting because isn't Virginia Beach where Pat Robertson?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, I imagine the drive-bys on Halloween are tremendous. Dog shit and paper bags flaming on each one's porch. God damn. Holy oil flying.
And the people at the Edgar Casey Institute say, we knew this was going to happen.
Yes.
Hey, you know what? There's other stuff going on in the world.
Let's levitate them.
James in Illinois says, Tubin will be a guest for the Anthony Weiner Show.
What other stuff is happening, Bob?
Those playful kids at the Department of Justice went into court. Mm-hmm. They did. And they made an argument pursuant to orders from the Attorney General of the United States that, in fact, Donald Trump, they argued this with a straight face in court. I mean, I broke up just saying Jesus says rule one, don't play with yourself on the air. I don't know how you're a career Department of Justice employee. You've risen up to the point that you're practicing in D.C. I mean, you've got some starch behind you at that point in time. And somebody went in there, a group of somebodies, and argued today in front of a federal judge cloaked with all the majesty and power of Article 3 of the Constitution that, Nitwit Nero can't be sued personally for having slandered E. Jean Carroll with everybody watching, because he did it acting in his official capacity as President of the United States. And to the credit of the federal judge, whomever it may have been, there's nothing in the New York Times story about the judge smirking and spraying seltzer in the face of the Department of Justice lawyer and saying, no, really, what's your real argument? Now, I guess it was actually written pleadings. Given the president's position in our constitutional structure, his role in communicating with the public is especially significant. The president's statements fall within the scope of his employment for multiple reasons. Most of which is because he doesn't have the money to pay the judgment.
Jeez.
And so, essentially, they're trying to get the Attorney General of the United States is acting as the personal lawyer for the President of the United States and trying to get a rape case dismissed against the president.
Well, after all, Bob, I mean, that is what attorneys general do.
But to their credit, E. Jean Carroll's lawyer said, there's not a single person in the United States, not the president and not anyone else, whose job description includes slandering women they sexually assaulted. Ow! And so, as a fallback position, the pettifoggers from the DOJ said, it wasn't slander. He was just rebutting her allegations. And that was within the scope of his official duties because it could have an impact on his job. No, it couldn't. He can't be fucking indicted. He can't be arrested. We've been through this. Her allegations sought to call into question the president's fitness for office, and a response was necessary for the president to effectively govern. He had to call her what he called her. It's disgusting.
Well, here we are. I mean...
And Joe Biden even punked him over it, saying, I'm being sued because a woman's accusing me of rape. Represent me, represent me.
Do I hear beeps?
Not from me. So
maybe. You don't hear that?
No, I don't hear anything.
Well, hell, Bob, I'm going crazy. Well, maybe I am going crazy. I don't know. It's not far to go. That's for damn sure. Well, what do you see for Thursday? Is it Thursday night, the night that the last? I still think he's going to weasel out of it.
Oh, I think he probably will too.
Because see, he can get away with whatever he wants at his rallies. Okay, you know they're just theater.
They're wrestling. Even... No, let's call them what they are. They're wrestling.
Yeah. So I mean, to be it. There, it'll be an in-person thing. It's not cyber. If he does the debate, he's going to be on the same fucking stage with Joe and the moderator. And is it a town hall sort of debate?
No, but they are pouting. They've got a serious pout going on. The MAGOT campaign does.
Pout ends and another one starts.
Well, because Bill Stepien writes a really shitty, snarky little letter.
Oh.
Last week they announced the topics. Kristen Welker announced the topics that she had chosen. And Bill Stepien, who is now the campaign manager because Brad Parscale bought a Ferrari and... lived large, and you know you're not supposed to live larger than when you're a mob lieutenant. You're not supposed to be out there living larger than the Godfather, and that Ferrari in the house in Fort Lauderdale probably pissed off Trump. But anyway, it turns out there's a shitload of money missing from the RNC and the Trump campaign, and Brad Parscale got wind of that, and that's when he wound up in nothing but a pair of board shorts holding onto a can of beer, hollering about his wife wouldn't fuck him, and got carried away on a Baker Act down there in Florida. And so Bill Stepien, they said, hey, Bill, you're the campaign manager now. And he's like, oh, fucking great. And so he's the campaign manager, and he's real pissed off. They filed an official objection to the six topics. Those six topics that Kristen Welker announced were fighting COVID-19, American families, race in America, climate change, national security, and leadership. Well, they don't like those. Bill Stepien particularly doesn't like those, so he decided to write a letter. And it's a real Lulu. We write with great concern over the announced topics for what was always billed as the foreign policy debate in the series of events agreed to by both the Trump campaign and Biden campaign many months ago. The topics announced by moderator Kristen Welker, fighting COVID-19, yada, 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 are serious and worthy of discussion, but only a few of them even touch on foreign policy. Really? A few of them? There's six. COVID-19, foreign policy. American families, how are American families impacted by foreign policy? Okay. Race in America, yeah, you can do that too, because it certainly affects our standing in the wider world and our ability to address issues of human rights abuses, like, say, among the Uyghurs in the Xinjiang in China, where they're fucking building a concentration camp a day. Climate change, yep, affects the whole planet. That's foreign policy too. National security, you can't get much more foreign policy than that. And leadership, well, with an absence of leadership, we see our foreign policy fall into the toilet like it has for the last 4 years.
Well, yeah.
But it's a real shitty, snarky little letter. Almost all of them were discussed at length during the first debate won by President Trump over moderator Chris Wallace and candidate Joe Biden. Trump made him write that. As is the longstanding custom, and as he had been promised by the Commission on Presidential Debates, we had expected that foreign policy would be the central focus of the October 22nd debate. We urge you to recalibrate the topics and return to subjects which had already been confirmed, like making America great again. No, I added that part. And then this. This is just beautiful. We understand that Joe Biden is desperate to avoid conversations about his own foreign policy record, especially since President Trump has secured historic peace agreements among Israel, the United Arab Emirates, and Bahrain, which have never been actually hostile to each other. We recall that Biden's former Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates, maintains that Biden has been wrong on nearly every major foreign policy, yada, 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 yada. 47 years, Washington politician, new information, Biden, financial beneficiary, Hunter Biden, Chinese-related energy, major party candidate for president, Hunter Biden, laptop. The commission has ceded to the wishes of the Biden campaign. Oh, Jesus Christ. The commission's pro-Biden antics have turned the entire debate season into a fiasco, and it's little wonder why the public has lost faith in its objectivity. Jesus Christ, he's the one that bowed out of the debate.
Yeah. It sounds like he's looking for an out. They've given him a sad, and you know he's not what you call a.
Yeah,
star.
This is the punt.
Well, he's not what you call a star political athlete, because most people of that caliber will play hurt if need be, and he doesn't like to play anyway, but there's no way he's going to play hurt. And by hurt, I mean at a disadvantage when you start calling him on his fucking record. Isn't that what the goddamn election's about this time around? You have an incumbent, and it's sort of like a quiz of America to find out if they're going to renew his fucking contract. Isn't that pretty much the dynamic? Crazy fucker.
Crazier than a sprayed roach.
Oh,
all kidding aside, you know, he commits crimes in front of everybody and dares the world to do a goddamn thing about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's astonishing in its own way. I mean, consider this one particular piece of audio. This is from his Arizona Clavern rally.
I call the head of...
Now... He's regaling the gathered maggots as he stands in front of Marine One. He's regaling the gathered maggots with tales of his daring do deal making.
Exxon.
I call up the head of Exxon.
I call the head of Exxon. I don't know, but you know, I'll use a couple. Hi, how you doing? How's energy coming? When are you doing the exploration? Oh, you need to.
How's energy coming? When are you doing the exploration? He's asking this of Exxon, of course, which is nothing if not an energy company and doing exploration, you know, all the fucking time. Not a fan, but, you know, it's who they are.
Doing? How's energy coming? When are you doing the exploration? Oh, you need a couple of permits, huh? Okay. But I call the head of Exxon. I say, you know, I'd love to send me $25 million for the campaign. Absolutely, sir. Why didn't you ask? Would you like some more? And if I make the call, now people make the call, it's different, you know, but if I made the call, I will hit a home run every single call. I would raise $1 billion in one day if I wanted to. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do it. I put in a lot of money when I ran originally. I put in a lot of money into this campaign, you know, my primary campaign. And I never thought it was appreciated. They'd never give me credit for it. But I gave up my salary. You know, I gave up. So the president's paid. No, but nobody ever talks about it.
Yeah, nobody, because, well, it's kind of a fraud.
Well,
he just admitted to, you know, quid pro quoing again.
Yeah. Well, did you see Steve, what's his name, with the glasses on Morning Joe this morning, with his charts and graphs about who's raising what in terms of campaign contributions from just individual little, you know, people, just average American people, average donation to Mr. Biden is $50 or less. No big bucks, no power plays or anything like that. And they, you can look, if you have the video of it, you can look and see that Trump is just like in the toilet. He's in the fucking toilet in terms of, because most people, even, you know, mind bent Republicans, they know the adage. They know, first of all, the value of a fucking dollar in today's world, and you don't throw good money after bad. Now, they might vote for him, but that's going to be as far as it goes. And he's had to cancel longstanding political commercial-wise at the last minute, and I hope there's a fucking penalty for pulling those otherwise scheduled ads, because he can't afford them. And always he's just, no, I'm not going to call because we don't need the money and I don't want to take the time to smile and dial. Crazy, fraudulent bastard.
Smile and dial.
You disreputable.
Pissant. Pissant.
Mindless fucking reprobate. You old fool. You inept, delusional, demented old fool.
Well, I have committed a gross error. I neglected to mention that our buddy Arnold in PA is among those people who can make radio happen from anywhere. He said, professionals fuck up all the time, even your filthy morning habit. There's little blippers all the time. Nothing's perfect, especially when you have all the technology we have today. Nothing actually works any better than it ever did. And as to what you were asking, what's rule one, what's rule two? Rule one, blinking light, motherfucker. Rule two, solid light, no motherfucker. Precisely, Arnold, precisely. And Arnold is a goddamn miracle worker. And I've been informed by the Viking warrior Pharaoh princess, and she has some influence in this area. She said, you're going to hell. So,
now, is she talking to you or me?
Me, naturally. Oh. Me. God. Hey, we got 30 minutes to go in the program. We got $60 to go to finish off Darlene and our anonymous friends' challenges. $75 to go to come even with the end of the night. And please don't leave those challenges laying on the table. Pretty please. Six people at $10, 10 people at $6, one person at $75, three at 20, 22, the ciphering makes my brain hurt, but we got, and thank you, Scott, for last week. We got $60 to go to finish the challenge, $75 to come even. Jack in Shreveport says, question, laptops. I've been offline and haven't heard all the Hunter laptop story details, but wait a sec. Could you do a fact check for me? Last election, it was Giuliani and his FBI cronies that delivered the Wiener laptop for October, maybe not October. And now a drunk Rudy effectively delivers another October laptop at us with the Hunter thing? Seems like a pattern. Yes, in the law, it's actually called a pattern and practice. It's exactly what it there.
Yeah.
It's also called being a one-trick pony. No, I was down in Delaware, and this guy just came up to me, and he said, "Here, I got a laptop. You want a laptop?" And I said, "Why would I want a laptop?" He said, "It's a laptop." It was Hunter Biden's laptop, and I said, "Let me see the laptop." Holy God! Oh my God! Look at all this shit. Honestly, but you know, because they desire to, the maggots will believe anything. I mean, if he told them. That Hunter Biden called him and confessed, and I've got the tape, they'd say, "Well, okay, great. You don't have to play the tape. We just believe you." Well, yay, we're down to and yay, thank you, Jack, and thank you, Jack in Shreveport. We are down to $40 to go to meet the challenges. Thank you so very much, Jack. $40 on that, and then $55 to finish the night. So, thank you. Hopefully, that'll happen in the next half hour or so.
Doesn't Hunter Biden live on the West Coast?
I honestly don't know.
I believe I heard or read that. Now, first of all, we have laptop repair places out here, if he does live here. But why would he go across the fucking country during a pandemic when he could probably buy a gross lot of the best laptops you can buy? Why would he go to in Wilmington? A little street corner
pawn shop
repair pawn
whatever.
Shop.
Yeah.
No, I didn't know pawn shop.
Well, was it? I don't know. Maybe it was a repair shop, pawn shop.
Whatever it is. Why on earth? The story is
Crazy Eddie's Computer Fixin' Emporium.
Is that really the name, Bob?
No, I'm guessing.
Oh, all right. We're crazy. Remember Crazy Eddie TV commercials? Jesus.
We're crazy, and your laptop made you crazy, so we're a perfect match. Right, exactly.
Well, there's nothing believable in it. And this is not your first go-around GOP Republican Trump campaign. Bring some wit to whatever you're going to be up to. You tried this bullshit with emails and
wit?
Hard drives.
Why? That's pearls before swine. That's wasted. You're talking to the maggots, remember?
Well, I know, but it's like, certainly there's somebody on the bench or in the locker room who's got a little more sense in running a campaign. I mean, there's got to be more to it than just trotting out the tangerine tinted tub of tow cheese and getting people sick at these fucking jammed and packed, maskless, for the most part, rallies. I mean, it's, you know, it's starting to get ugly. And this last week is going to be, he's going to be insufferable. And then after the votes are counted, and then we won't have the full results on election night, obviously. And everybody understands why we won't, except him. That crazy fucker has got he's lost it. He's got no grip on the reality-based reality that most people buy into, because that's what rational people do. Okay? I mean, even if you're political about stuff and have a difference of opinion politically, at least there's a ground level, you know, a baseline of reality that we all dance with. Because that's what rational, you know, halfway intellectual people do. We can't function without some basis for our behavior and our continuing, you know. But then again, he's about chaos, and I don't mean on Get Smart, KOAS. I mean
KAOS, for that matter.
I mean, the guy has got a head full of Cairo syrup. It's just, if you watch him move his head a little bit, you hear it sloshing around, that light-colored corn syrup. I'm out of my mind. I'm Donald. I'm out of my mind. I only say what they tell me to say.
As an aficionado of Pink Floyd, there's a line, which song is it? It's on the wall, and crazy... Toys in the attic, he is crazy. Maybe it's the trial. Truly gone fishing. I just love that line. He's truly gone fishing. Well,
indeed.
That's where we are. And for instance, I wouldn't want to step on Malloy's broadcast slot, but it would almost be fun to be live while this next pageant takes place, just to offer the commentary along the way, because this is going to be nuts. Absolutely.
What do you mean, on election night?
No. This Thursday, the debate.
Well, there ought to be some way you can bring Mike in on it and do it.
It's not. Well, I'm working on making that sort of thing possible, but it hasn't happened yet. Just got some breaking news across the Coconut Telegraph. Headline, Washington Post, Supreme Court denies GOP request to stop extended period for returning mail ballots in Pennsylvania. The Supreme Court Monday night allowed Pennsylvania election officials to count mail-in ballots received up to 3 days after Election Day, refusing a Republican request to stop a pandemic-related procedure approved already by the state's Supreme Court. Well, that'll light them up. Well, yeah, I don't know where the damn buffering's coming from. Thanks for letting me know, Dave, number 11. Randy pointed it out earlier, and we buffered and went all the way. I got nothing. Then again, it's the Internet, so I guess a certain amount of that is just to be expected, but damn. Thanks for letting me know, Dave. Election night possibilities. James in Illinois says, there are those who think that key states dropping for Biden could cause them to project him a winner on election night. And it would be hard to avoid that. I mean, look where they're spending money. The Republican Party is spending money, you know, real Jed Clampett-style walking around money in states that they'd never spend in before. They're spending in Texas. They're spending in Georgia. They shouldn't have to drop a single damn penny in either of those two states. But it is... We are living in a time when if everything plays out, the Democrats could take Georgia. I mean, just let that rattle around. The Democrats could take Texas. And it's hilarious. One of the people I pay the least amount of attention to and give the least credit to because he's really, really terrible at his job, and why couldn't it have been him who was caught on Zoom instead of Jeffrey Toobin? I'm talking about Chris Cillizza. I mean, oh, he's awful. But I sent the story around earlier today under the heading of Even a Blind Hog Finds an Acorn Now and Then. Because he wrote this piece about how desperate John Cornholio is, you know, of Texas. He's trying to run, first he ran toward Trump, now he's running away from Trump, and now there's and so there's another reference, you know. Soft Cell did the cover. That's where I first learned of it, you know, back in the 80s. You know, once I ran to you, now I run from you. This tainted love you've given. Right. Tainted love. Trying to explain why he's been such a servile little lickspittle maggot, John Cornholio said, I think what we found is that we're not going to change president. What I tried to do is not get into public confrontations and fights with him, because as I've observed, those usually don't end too well. But when I have had differences of opinion, which I have, I do that privately. I've found that's allowed me to be much more effective, I believe, than to satisfy those who say I ought to call him out or get into a public fight with him. So, in other words, what he's actually telling the Republicans in Texas is that they should reelect him because he's too scared to actually speak up to the dictator wannabe. And Chris Cillizza, being funny, Says, on a related note, over the weekend at my house, I dunked a basketball on a 10-foot hoop. Unfortunately, no one saw it, and it's not on tape, but I did it, trust me, and it was incredible. So there's John Cornyn, who has spent the last 4 years with his head so far up Trump's ass that when Trump opens his mouth, you can see John's smiling face. But now he wants the people of Texas to know that he's a tough hombre, John Cornholio is, and by God, he ain't gonna take no shit from that Donald Trump, because apparently even Texans are pretty well done with Trump. Can you? I mean, for all we've been through, Scott.
Why? Yeah.
Everything since American Carnage and We All Bleed on January the 20th, 2017, and what came before it, Mexican rapists and references to bleeding from her whatever in regard to Megyn Kelly, and Jesus, it goes on and on and on.
Well,
I got a question. I got to ask you the question.
Okay, yeah.
If on election night, Georgia and Florida and Texas and Ohio, Iowa and Arizona all go for Biden, in other words, something that none of us ever expected to see in our lifetimes during a presidential election, will it all have been worth it? I mean, it's a shitty and rotten question to ask with 219,000 closing on 220,000 dead Americans. But my God, if we could finally shatter the South.
Well, a long time ago, I posited or mused over the notion during one of these phone calls that sometimes you have got some. It could turn out. Now, back when I said this, well over a year ago, I said something to the effect of, "It could turn out, Bob, that Trump being elected president and having gone through these 4 years will be just the thing that we need to trigger a change of mind and a clearer vision of what these Republicans have been up to for the past 40 years or so, or more even. You know, maybe it took something like this, and I know that we can't count our chickens yet, but I am, you know, the eternal optimist. Maybe looking back on it, we'll see clearly that it took precisely all the shit and flaming hoops that we've had to deal with over the past 4 years to put us in a position to go a different way, a better way, you know? And I can't help but think that there is some truth to what I'm saying. And it ain't over yet, but I really have to wonder if maybe this is a turning point, a well-deserved and well-needed, much-needed turning point for our country. Because we don't, you know...
See, I knew what I was doing when I gave you a chance to be an unrepentant optimist. I knew you'd come through.
Well, am I missing something? I mean, you'll tell me if I am, God knows.
Well, no, but I think to say on if we can, we have generations worth of work to do.
Oh, I know.
You know, that's one of those Churchill moments. It's not the beginning of the end. It's not even the end of the beginning. It is merely a waypoint noting that maybe we've got a chance. Maybe now we have a puncher's chance. And hey, thank you to Darcy, and thank you to Jeremy for jumping back in, and thank you to Faith. Thank you all so much. We are down to 15 bucks to go to finish the challenges and 30 bucks to go to finish the evening. So if there's 15 more bucks laying around, that'll finish the challenges. If there's three people with 10 bucks, we can be caught all the way up to this evening in what is turning out to be a really scary week.
Well, and this is what I was saying on your Facebook the other night. In times, strange and dangerous times like this, this is an outpost that you want to have. You want to make it thrive, not just survive, but thrive. Because see, Election Day is only one step in the process. You know, then comes the counting, and then comes the fight and the legal challenges about the counting, and then comes, you know, whether he's actually going to leave the premises on January 20th. And, you know, January 20th is a magic day when you think back to President Kennedy's inaugural. If you've ever heard it or have not heard it recently, it's on YouTube. Give it a listen, because he reminds us that a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. And that's where we are. Like you say, our work is very much cut out for us.
A chowder in every pot.
Well, that too. Bring your clams. But I just can't help but think that at long last, America may indicate that it has some shred of decency and is capable of doing the right thing. Now, is Biden all that in a bag of chips? No, I never said he was. But when you consider the alternative, you know, it's like a little child grabbing a parent's leg and hanging on for dear life for fear of the boogeyman, you know? And we've kind of got to show up in unprecedented and unmistakable numbers a week and a day from today, if you haven't already voted. I can't emphasize that any more than I have. And for God's sake, we can't let the horn do anything but be a vibrant, thriving outpost for intelligent conversation and fun. By God, we do have fun. When you have Bob and the Horn family listening, almost ready to wet themselves and get a fresh Depends, you know you're having fun. And we need that because it's healing. It resuscitates us and you know, fortifies us.
It's rejuvenating.
The days ahead. The days ahead. And we have got to just got to do it. The old Nike ad, just do it. You know? Because you're mentioning Texas, Bob. I'm looking at the electoralvote.com, and they have the 50 states, and you click on the state that you want to look at, and it says Biden 47, Trump 49, and it's indicated as barely GOP. Well, in your wildest dreams, did you ever think that Texas at this
point... Right, precisely my point, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And let me switch over to the Senate page and see, is Cornyn running?
Oh, yes, he's running. And he's scared to death of MJ Hager. She's doing a better job in Texas than Amy McGrath is in Kentucky.
Well, I'll give you the number, according to electoralvote.com. Cornyn, 49. Hager, 46.
Yeah, that's margin of error stuff.
Yeah. But, again, I don't know how well past Democrats have done in Senate races. Well, there hasn't been a Democrat in the Senate from Texas since when? The 70s?
Oh, God. I don't know. And by the way, Barack Obama is entering the fray. He'll be campaigning, the Philly area, I think?
Oh, that'll be good.
And they're focusing. I wish there was enough of him to go around that he could go down and... Because it would be worth, I mean, to take Texas, to take Georgia. Amazing. It would just be amazing. And hey, thank you to Keith. Thank you, Keith. We are down to $5 to go on the challenges and $20 to go on the evening. So thank you very, very kindly, Keith. So $5 more and we know the challenges are covered. And, $20 and we're good for the evening. Okay, we are now $10 away from done for the evening. Thank you to Roberto. Roberto finished off the challenges and a little bit more. Thank you so much, Roberto. I cannot thank you enough. So we are this looks hopeful. And I think I'll be talking more about it this coming week. I want this whole attempt, this ongoing little experiment, I want it to continue. And I've had emails literally from all over the world saying, you know, Bob, you've got to make it. You've got to make sure it keeps going. I've had them from lots of people who support the program, and even a few who don't, you know, saying I can't, but please. So that's coming. It's just a matter of figuring out how to go about doing it. But I want this. I want this to be here because I want to see if we can win, if we can do all these things. I want to see what it's going to be like when we begin that work of generations. You know what I'm talking about? Because there will be conversations to be had about priorities, about ordering, the order in which we approach these things, the extent to which you, and in a way it reminds me of Barack Obama's ascension to the office. The country that Barack Obama got and had to fix and had to save made him a far different president from the Barack Obama who wanted to be president.
Yeah.
But as I've said before, the presidency makes the person in the office. The person in the office does not make the presidency. Yeah. The only thing we've seen in the last 4 years, the only thing that can happen is that the person in the office diminishes the presidency. And it has been diminished within an inch of its miserable existence. I think Biden will rise to the occasion. I think he will. You know, he shocked a lot of people back when he was vice president, when he ran way the hell out in front of Barack Obama and said, I think gay people should be able to get married.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he may shock people again. Because he can talk about how he doesn't want to pack the courts. It's not court packing if you are merely correcting an injustice. He's talked about how he's not a supporter of Medicare for all. I don't care if you call it Hunter Biden care if everybody in this country can go to the doctor when they're fucking sick. Okay? Do I make sense there?
Yeah, because I think the people are onto what the Republicans have been up to and the marching orders that they have taken, lo, these many years since the days of Reagan, which we pretty well agree is when it really started to go south in a hurry and has continued to go south with the exceptions of a couple of moments of clarity and sanity, okay? And there's a real sense, even though it was in my lifetime, January 20th, 1961, what did they call President Kennedy's administration? The New Frontier. It was all about vigor and was all about doing and being and asking not what the country could do for us, but what we could do for the country. And we were about doing that. There was a sense of optimism and taking up the challenge and throwing our cap over the wall, because that required you to climb up over the wall to get it if you wanted the cap on your head again. And we haven't had that type of spirit in this country for a good number of years.
No, we have not.
And I think it's high time that we start. And see, Biden will be hopefully in a great position in that we will gain even more in the House. We will hopefully retake the Senate. When was the last time we had a Democratic president with a functioning House and Senate working with him?
Well, theoretically, 2009, but that didn't happen until August of 2009. And by then, that's kind of what I was talking about, Barack Obama not having the presidency he wanted.
Yeah.
It was August before Al Franken was seated from Minnesota, and we actually had a 60-vote majority in the Senate. And we had a healthy majority in the House, and we had Harry Reid for the Speaker. And between having Harry Reid, who enforced no discipline whatsoever, and people like Blanche Lincoln and Mary Landrieu, Ben Nelson from Nebraska, we didn't really have a filibuster-proof majority in the Senate because they were could be relied upon to go over and sniff the posterior of chinless Mitch McConnell. But just one of those things that can really really matter. Think about health care. Again, I mentioned it a moment ago. One of the things we have to fix is the question of Medicaid. And in terms of a short-term fix that would get us to some real long-term good, how about a redo here in the middle of a pandemic, because it could be really useful. How about a redo, an extension to the Affordable Care Act? How about reaching out to all those states and saying, okay, you didn't want to pay 5% of the bill. The federal government's going to pay 100% forever. And you're going to expand Medicaid, and we're going to expand Medicaid in every state, and it's going to be at, 200% of the poverty level. Do you realize what you've done in a moment like that, Scott?
Oh, yeah.
You have just extended health care to tens of millions of Americans. And, I'm one of them. I'm one of them.
We need it.
And it would be a great and grand and glorious moment. And if we've got it, if you can do it under reconciliation in the Senate, then 60 votes, fuck it. And if not, just kill the filibuster altogether. And, let them sue all over again. This time, if all you're doing is fixing Medicaid, there's no mandate. And if you're expanding Medicaid to say 200, hell, I mean, I'm what? Let me guess. Let me think. If you expanded it to 300% of the poverty level, a family of five, maybe, making less than $100,000 a year would qualify for Medicaid. All right. So that would be hugely significant, and it would take there's no mandate for him to piss and moan about. And there you go.
And what would that do to people's sense of well-being to know that even if they did have a health challenge, it wouldn't wreck the rest of their days?
Well, exactly. What would it do for the healthcare system in this country? West Virginia is not, we've had a couple of hospitals close, but not nearly to the extent of, say, hospitals closing in places like Georgia and Alabama and Mississippi.
Yeah.
Because we took the Medicaid expansion, and that has kept healthcare facilities open in this state.
Yeah, rural hospitals.
And so rural health care and hospitals in general would be tremendously bolstered by this. This is not, even the most progressive left of progressives couldn't complain about it, because it's not corporate welfare for the insurance industry. And that's just one thing to think about. Well, we're pretty much at the end of things, and I need to send thanks out to Women Standing and our dear sister Jude, because lo and behold, we met it all.
All right.
So we've caught up with last week, caught up with tonight, and maybe by the end of the week, if everything is still on, I'll be able to pay all those bills, and we'll start our 16th broadcast year. Thank you to Jude, who said it's all in the balance. Hear, to Scott.
Well, it's the chips. There's a stack of chips, incredibly large, at the center of the table, and somebody is going to win those chips. Shouldn't it be us at long last? I mean, come on, really. And see, what pisses me off about those imported Chinese hats that Trump and his people wear because he's having a bad hair day or whatever. What does it say on those hats? Make America great. Well, wouldn't this be a step toward actual greatness if people could go to bed at night and wake up in the morning knowing that their health needs are not going to be neglected, that they're not going to become a statistic? I mean, and especially now when the fucking odometer of death is up to what, 222,000 people dead needlessly? God damn it, needlessly. Back in what, February? When Trump was talking to Bob Woodward, wasn't it back in February? Trump admitted that he knew how bad this was?
Yes,
he knew it was
airborne. And speaking of which, we've already speculated that he will be out of the debate come Thursday. Well, we just found out how and why. The story just broke.
All right, go ahead.
David in South Carolina, Stan, pointed it out to me. And Darlene sent it along as well. Ha, 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 here's his excuse to bow out. Headline, debate commission says moderator can cut Trump's mic for 2 minutes if he interrupts Biden. The Associated Press, Monday, the Commission on Presidential Debates announced that they will be adopting new rules that will cut the candidates' microphones if they attempt to interrupt the other for 2 minutes of uninterrupted time per debate segment.
Give the commission a cowbell, Bob.
Well, yeah, but it's also... anybody who is planning on being hopelessly inebriated on Thursday, you're going to have to find another reason. Because I have a feeling now there will not be a debate. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure there will not be a debate. He will dare them to do it. And then when they do, he'll just keep screaming.
Well, Mose Allison once had a song called Your Mind is on Vacation, but Your Mouth is Working Overtime. That, to me, is Trump. That's the musical equivalent of Trump. Do you think for a minute that he will subject himself to any form of reasonable verbal or nonverbal activity willingly? Remember, Bob, his mind is on vacation, but his mouth is working overtime. He lives to hear himself talk, even more than me, for crying out loud. You know, I think you may have tonight's headline. All the news.
Well, and one last thing, because there were just a couple of moments that were kind of weird over the weekend. Two of them now. The actor and former rap star Ice Cube. Is that it? No.
Yeah.
Endorsed Trump over the weekend.
Are you shitting me?
And now the more modern rapper 50 Cent has called on his followers to vote for Trump. Well, money.
Well,
yeah.
God damn, that's...
I know. But I got to get out of here, Scott. You have yourself a good evening, my friend. Take care now.
You too, and my best to Agnes and to all the Horn family.
And remember, rule one.
Rule one, boys and girls, don't touch it or you'll go blind.
Jesus, rule one at the Gospel Voice, Jesus says, don't play with yourself when the mic is open. Yes.
There you go.
Oh, all God.
Right, Bob.
Later, Scott.
Put your pants on and have some dinner, Bob.
Hey, it's too cold for naked radio now. Although it's going to get warm later in the week, we may. I mean, yeah, I've never made any bones about it. We do naked radio here.
Oh, I know.
But I try to be professional about it. Anyway, later, Scott. And that's it. Thank you very kindly to all of you who have made this little Moran Monday miracle happen. That will pay a part of a bill, and that will get paid about as quick as I get off the air. Thank you. Thanks to all of you who partially sponsor the program. Thanks to all of our subscribers, Patreon and PayPal. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you so very much. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program. in no matter what manner you so choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Steve and Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. HeadOn.live. Brand new Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, right here on the HeadOn.live stream. The single best place to catch the Malloy program. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Please stay home if you can. If you can't, you have to go out. Please wear your mask. Please wear your gloves. Please wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Carry your hand sanitizer with you wherever you go. And sanitize frequently after touching just about anything. Keep some Clorox wipes on hand in your car if you can, or maybe little pouches that could fit in a pocket or a purse. Maintain your social distance greater than 6 feet, greater than 10, greater than 15 even, if you possibly can. Take the advice of our good friend Paul from Parts Unknown seriously. And above all, if you see somebody coming towards you saying masks are a security blanket, and we should probably go shopping at that other little place over at Willow Creek, avoid that person like the plague, because they are. Later, y'all.